I'm Eamon.
I'm Merlin.
And we're a gay.
And his NB.
Episode number 102. Thank you all so much for listening to another episode of A Gay and His NB, the podcast where we're talking about all the things that we're watching on television this week. We have a great episode in store for you where we're going to be talking about all things Vanderpump. But before we get into any of that, we have a few housekeeping notes to get out of the way first.
Wherever it is that you're listening to us, whether that is Apple Podcasts, Spotify, I forgot what I was talking about there for a second. All of these places where there's podcasts, wherever it is, we would love for you to leave us a rating and a review. Not only does that help us get into the algorithm where we find more listeners, but it also helps us hear back from the listeners we already have. We want to hear what you love, what you don't love, and what you'd love to hear from us in the future.
You can also follow us across social media platforms, all at A Gay and His NB. That's on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and Threads, where we're posting new content every day, including clips of from the podcast and some of our instant thoughts about the things that we are watching. It's a great place where if you want an extra dose of what we're saying, or maybe getting an early dose of some of the stuff that we might be talking about on the podcast, you can get that across social media, all at A Gay and His NB.
And speaking of an extra dose of A Gay and His NB, you can also get a dose of us on a t-shirt and all sorts of other merch at agayandhisnb.threadless.com. We have 10 different designs on there, three of which are Pride-centric, and we are coming up on Pride, folks, pretty quickly. It is, as of recording this, April 18th. You've only got, 6 weeks? So you want to make sure that you have any of your Pride merch in hand before you head out there for one of your local Pride parades. So you can grab that over at agayandhisnb.threadless.com.
And last but not least, if you have any questions for us that you would like us to answer on a future episode of the podcast, you can be sure to submit that on the social media platforms I mentioned or at agayandhisnb@gmail.com. Just be sure to, when you do that, to leave your name, leave your question, and who knows, we may answer it on a future episode of the podcast. Bae, what is on the docket for this great episode?
Well, we're going to be talking about Vanderpump Rules, where Lala's having a bukkake party. I mean, that's not really what it is, but it's kind of what it is. It's just bukkake in tubes, you know, pre-done.
Already.
We're also going to be talking about the Valley, some drama coming up over there.
Very dark stuff.
Very dark-sided. Dark-sided stuff over there. But before we get to any of that, let's talk Vanderpump Villa.
Weirdly, darker on the Valley this week and semi-lighter on Vanderpump Villa.
The sun must have been behind the hills.
Maybe.
So we couldn't get into the Valley.
Yeah, it's the dynamic shift on Vanderpump Villa, I would say more than anything, was, I think, great and also needed. I was reaching that precipice point where, yeah, I was just like, this is toxic as fuck.
And it was still toxic as fuck.
I was gonna say, still kind of toxic, but different people got to be
toxic.
Slightly less toxic, though, I would argue.
Sure.
We'll probably dive into that a little bit. We pick up from where we left last episode with the Grayson Marciano fight. Well, and they're outside in the outdoor area, and Emily's trying to comfort Grace to calm her down. She's just going, ooh, I fucking hate him. Marciano can suck my dick.
I don't know about you. I love when women use the turn of phrase, suck my dick.
Oh, it's fantastic.
It's fucking hilarious.
Every time
I cackle.
Hannah comes up and is like, what happened? And Grace goes, I love you so much, but the man that you've connected with is a piece of shit. And basically goes off about what he was saying to her, what he was saying to the chefs and all that stuff. And just everything. Hannah goes, I have to say with Marciano, honestly, I will defend him. I know his heart and I know who he is as a person. Just give him a second chance. We haven't seen these people for years and years and years to where it's because of that, I'm like, why the, he's a fuckboy.
Honestly.
You can say that, the dick can be great, Hannah, but it's you're going to think that he's a good person. That was slightly confusing to me with all this that transpired.
Good dick does not equal good person.
It's who this man is, at its core. You're just ignoring those parts because of other things. Hannah walks off and Grace just goes, I feel great. I feel great. Like, reassuring. Like, I'm, like, so happy about, for herself.
Honestly.
Then we go to Marciano, and it's, like, kind of, like, there's not even, like, a proper camera set up. It's, like, really dark outside, but he's, like, drinking with more of the guests, and he's, like, pouring tequila in their mouths, including this girl, Gail, who's one of Lauren's, like, Now, I don't think, did they say that she was explicitly like a bridesmaid or whatever? I don't know, but she was in the wedding circle to where she was at this bachelorette party.
But I mean, we also don't know. Typically, I think of a bachelorette party as your closest friends and usually the bridal party.
Typically.
It seemed like this was in lieu of coming to the wedding for a lot of these people.
Well, especially Brad. Who did.
Yeah.
Marciano says at confessional, I'm going to slam this bottle and regret everything I do after that, but I'm going to black out and it's not going to matter. What message? Like, I get the, okay. God forbid I want them to be like upstanding people. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that they're like role models, but
no, of course not.
But what's the message of just like, I'm going to down this bottle and black out and not remember anything. So it'll be fine.
Okay, but eventually you're going to wake up and have to deal with the consequences of your actions.
Yeah. To me, even the most, like, raging alcoholic wouldn't say shit like that explicitly. Right? Yeah,
they might think it, and they might do it, but they're not going to say it. That's just unhinged.
As if it's like a badge of honor.
Yeah.
That doesn't, like, and then so he, after drinking a bunch, Marciano then kisses this girl, Gail. And he does it right in front of Gabriella. Gabriella's like off to the corner and she's just like, what the fuck?
Well, I mean, and it's not just right in front, but it's like in a crowd almost. There's like a bunch of people there.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like they had been like vibing and like just, you know, like got swept up in the moment and that sort of thing. No, it was just a haul off and kiss her kind of moment. And it's like, who the fuck do you think you are?
Because Gabriella says he initiated. Like, you can't perfectly tell from the video, but, like, according, like, it was definitely, like, a he engaged. Like,
it's just, it's how many times do we have to have moments that are literal sexual harassment on this show? It's a problem.
But don't worry, Lisa's going to deal with it. Not in the way you would think, but...
Is she?
Yeah. Gabriella and Telly then pull Hannah to the side. And she's like, what's going on? Like, what's going on? Just say it. And Telly's like, she saw Marciano kissing that girl, Gail. And, then, like, the way that Hannah's just, like, shell-shocked. She goes... And they take her into, like, the bar area. She goes, wait, no. What the fuck? No. And, like, just this, like, dramatic buildup. And then they just cut to her confessional, and she's already crying with, like, the scrunched-up face with, like the white girl drunk crying.
Yes. Where,
and also, like, her, she definitely has had lip injections.
Oh, yeah.
Like, and so it's just, like, all of it's just, like...
Yeah.
You know...
Something about the way that she said no reminded me of when... Angie K was denying the rumors about her husband.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
What? No. No. Oh, absolutely not.
Yeah.
It was very bad.
And then, but it just like cuts their confessionals with her scrunch crying face, and she just goes, he's a piece of shit.
Literally after just protecting
you. So, and, oh my God. And I gotta say, angry Hannah, but drunk Hannah. Drunk, angry Hannah is hilarious to me. I'm sorry.
Absolutely.
She's in the bar with the girls, and she's just going, I've been sticking up for him with everyone, and this is what he does? Bravo! Bravo! It's like, that's a different network.
You're on Hulu.
Yeah. And the girls are comforting her. Priscilla says in her confessional, Hannah had a problem with Telly because of Marciano. Hannah had a problem with me because of Marciano. Isn't that a common denominator? Like, who's the problem? Marciano.
Okay, Marciano is a problem, but he was not the reason for those. It was Hannah that was the problem there.
Like,
it was,
like, you just happened to have your legs open slightly, and she, like, pounced on you. That's not a Marciano problem.
Yeah, he didn't... Like, he wasn't even, like, doing anything. He wasn't the issue there.
Yeah. Hannah's just going, what is going on? I'm in shock. I'm in, like, shock right now. I'm in shock.
Also, this is Sheena's reaction to Scandoval. Yeah. I stood up for you. How dare you?
You discovered, I think it's later in the episode, but I'll say it now. You all, because we had already said she's like early Stassi mixed with like a little Sheena. You also said there's like a little bit of like early Lala.
Yeah, when she's flirting with this guy at the bar later in the episode, Dan, it's the her speech patterns are exactly Lala. Mm. And I would not be surprised to find out that this girl is from Utah.
Maybe. She literally just watched like a like binge Vanderpump Rules like we all did in Scandaball and was just like taking notes the whole time.
I guess. She decided to give them Lala.
Priscilla says that he's an empty, weak man. That's what they do. You know, they hurt the people that they love. Hannah goes, wait, I don't even know. Like, they cut back to Hannah talking to him, and she goes, wait, I feel like I'm so pretty. I don't understand. Like, what does she mean by that? Like,
why is he choosing other people?
I guess. Telly's, like, giving her the hype speech. She goes, you don't deserve that. Everything that Grace said to you tonight is that she loves you, that you're funny. And Hannah just jumps in and goes, and I was like, oh, he has a good heart. Wow. Wow.
She's so drunk.
And then they're like, you have to be done with him. He's awful. And Gabriella does the like she's in the mob. She does like the hand wiping that like done with him. Jesus Christ. So now it seems like they wake up the next morning and they're kind of in a position. It seems like we're going to get, I mean, if we're talking like a girls alliance, like they're like, we're all going to have each other's back now. Like, fuck these men. They treat us like shit the whole time. And like, we're going to rise up or whatever. Like they're on fucking, what is it? Femaskira or whatever the Wonder Woman Island is.
Yeah.
Priscilla's like, he's like, I don't like to dogpile on people, but like you put yourself in that position. Marciano, you're a piece of shit. Get the fuck out. Go home.
And what's frustrating is that I still don't fully even blame Marciano for this.
Yeah.
I blame Eric. Because Eric told him to behave like this.
I mean,
specifically told him to do this shit.
I will, yes.
And I think he's so eager to do well, he literally thinks he's doing his job while doing this.
I think that's part of it. Don't get, like, yes, I do think so. But I also think, like, Eric found the perfect people.
Oh, 1,000%. I'm just saying, when someone is letting themselves be taken advantage of and directed in a toxic way, it is both their fault and the person doing the directing.
Yeah, that's true. Anthony and Caroline are preparing breakfast for the guests as they're about to leave. Anthony's like, yes, yesterday I went to bed and Marciano just keep talking. Because apparently Marciano was trying to like broach a conversation like in the middle of the night or something. He goes, Marciano drunk? I would better talk to the donkey than Marciano drunk. So the guests are having their last breakfast. Hannah, because they're like, oh, you have to serve this woman who just made out with like your boyfriend, on and off boyfriend. She does say she doesn't blame Gail. She blames Marciano.
That was a mature response.
She's like, I was shocked by, right?
Honestly.
She also is like, I'm working. It's
might have been the hangover.
Yeah, it's like Lisa's image and stuff like that. But like, yeah, it was like, yeah, it's not this chick's fault. I think they're very much in girl power mode at this point.
Yeah.
Which I don't mind, but, you know. So Eric presents them with the comment card. By the way, as this is happening, Marciano is still in bed. They keep cutting back to, like, I was like, there was a couple times where I was like, he's still there? Like, he's still in bed.
Yeah.
Like, man. Like, there is, like, going past an alarm, and then there is, like, because he, like, doesn't get there until the guests are then leaving.
Literally so, like, runs out of the chateau as they're getting in the car.
Yeah.
Wild. How does this man still have a job?
Lauren is filling out the comment card before. I love that they put, we love Chef. Making such the point to emphasize that.
I love how they were still in the room.
Yeah.
Like, there were still staff members in the room.
Oh, were they?
And they were vocally filling this out while they're, like, cleaning up, like, plates and stuff like that.
Yeah.
They're like, we love Chef. I was like, wow.
They're talking about like the negative parts, and Gail's like, they kind of fought all night last night. Brett then goes, I just feel like this was our experience to enjoy together. And there were moments where it was kind of more about them. If you don't shut the fuck up, you fucking...
This was your friend's bachelorette party, and you made it all about you.
All the
time. So shut the fuck up.
And also, you brought them in to do that card game thing where, like, they could take off an article of clothing. That's what led to all the fighting.
Literally.
And now you're being like, they kind of made it about them.
Wild.
This is the season of just the chaotic gay, I think, on reality.
I would bet money that he slipped his resume onto Lisa's desk as he was walking out the door.
Just in case.
Call me.
The guests are leaving, and like you mentioned, Marciano's alarm finally goes off and he starts running out. Lisa's like, where have you been? Like, it's like ridiculous at this point. Like, you shouldn't have even come out.
Yeah.
Lisa then has Andre come into her office to sort of discuss things. She's like, I need you to give me an accurate depiction of what happened last night. Lisa says, they didn't get to bed till 5 a.m. because of screaming. Who was screaming? They were. And Andre goes, I don't know. And Lisa goes, you do know.
I felt sorry for Andre because I don't think it's fair to put him in this position.
Sure. But I also understood because I was like, Eric's not going to give her a straight answer.
No, but at that point you... review the footage. You have threatened before already on this show that you're going to be watching the camera footage.
Has she?
Yes. She literally, I think it was in a confessional, but like, she literally said, do they not realize they're in front of cameras and I can see that?
But she doesn't use it? Like, she
doesn't use it.
This is like, okay, yeah, that frustrates me. I didn't even know.
I think it was like in the second episode or something.
Yeah, Lisa's aloofness is pissing me off at this point. And what all, because it's also annoying, because then Andre, because she's like, tell me what happened. And you know what happened. Andre goes, I think Marciano kissed one of the guests. And Lisa goes, Marciano kissed one of the guests. Hannah knows? And Lisa then goes, but I thought Marciano and Hannah were together. Why is that your first, like, why is that your concern? Like, not... oh my God, one of my staff members made out with one of my guests.
And also, like, literally just a couple episodes ago, you had your manager rubbing his dick on your guest. Why is the kissing more of an issue?
Well, she, like, again, but she doesn't know about the dick thing. She doesn't know about the dick thing, but she knows explicitly about this at this point, and she's just like, but what about Hannah? Who gives a fuck? I mean, not who gives a fuck, but like, as you as a boss.
Right.
Who gives a fuck?
Honestly. Like, you can replace Hannah, or you can replace Marciano. Like, they are staff members. If they are a problem, you fire them. Like, that is what you do.
Yeah. Crazy. Lisa holds a meeting with everyone. It's the normal meeting to like introduce the new guests or whatever. Like,
how many times have you fired Jax over the years for much less?
Please. Lisa goes, firstly, I want to thank, you know, talk about what went wrong. Drinking, having fun. I'm all about that. But being aggressive, not only is it not acceptable, but I won't tolerate that. Well, that's okay, but that's not, I'm sorry, that's not real. You can, drinking and having fun is great. It's when you get aggressive. You realize sometimes when you mix alcohol in like an environment, sometimes things can get aggressive. So maybe literally, like, don't encourage drinking.
Yeah.
That's possible. I don't know. Crazy me. Lisa goes, and I do think, Marciano, that you should apologize to everyone collectively now. Marciano gets up in front of everyone. This whole episode, I said it to you, I was like, he's coming off like a little bitch. I'm not trying to be like a dick about that, but like, he, as big and bad and sort of like boisterous he is, he gets so like whimpery.
Well, to me, it reinforces my theory that he really thought he was doing the right thing.
Maybe.
Like, he really didn't understand in that moment that that was the wrong thing to do, because he thought that that was like Lisa's directive from Eric.
Yeah.
And so now he's going, oh, well, maybe that wasn't it. I don't know what I should be doing, so I'm just going to try to be contrite and... like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah. He's like,
he seems almost confused.
He's like, I'm embarrassed and humiliated by my actions. I feel terrible for how I treated a lot of you, and I'm sorry, and it won't happen again. He sits back down. Lisa goes, do we accept this apology? And Hannah immediately goes, no. Gray says, he's just doing this because he's being told to do it, not because he means it. Like, which I get the sense of as well. Like, it just can't, like, the high of where he was versus, it's just.
I think his apology to Lisa is sincere, because I think he's upset that he's upset her. But I don't think that he sees the point of, I don't think he recognizes the impact it's had on the rest of the cast.
Yeah, sure. The new guest of honor is Chizzy, who's bringing a group of men and one woman to have, like, just a good... There's no, like... It's not, like, Bachelorette, but it's just, like, we're having fun at the chateau. Lisa talks about his story about how he apparently survived a car accident and was thought to never be able to walk again. And so he was able to rehabilitate, and, like, these are, like, the circle of friends that sort of, like, helped him get through everything. I also need Lisa... When she's doing, like, the sentimental parts on these shows, she always does this whispery voice that's like...
It's exhausting.
Be there for him in his moments of need. It's like, oh, my God, speak up, woman. Like, it's like you're not speaking to, like, a toddler. Like,
honestly.
It's crazy. But the fact that it's a group of men coming, and Lisa Leary goes, "You're welcome, ladies." And it's like, now it's your turn to sexually harass the guests. It's like...
And even then, when the women are given that opportunity, it doesn't go nearly as bad as the men have.
Not at all. Like, they really, like, they balance it in a way that's like, oh, this is, like, still, I mean, loose for a workplace environment, but still, like, normal, right? Like,
right.
Lisa then brings Marciano into her office to, like, have a conversation after the meeting. She goes, "You apologizing today was very necessary, but I really thought about it. I just don't have the confidence that I did have. You know, you were my lead server." like as if it's like this, like, amazing role. It's a lead server, whatever. Marcio is crying and goes, "It hasn't affected my work." And she goes, "It has affected the work because it's affected the whole dynamic." Like, and so it's like they're building up again, like Lisa's going to fire this person, like, in this moment. She goes, "Sometimes apologizing isn't enough. You have to have the consequence. If we were working back at home, I would suspend you for 2 weeks. Unfortunately, I need you here." Or, like, "Unfortunately, I'm not going to pay, like, the plane flight." You know what I mean?
Yeah.
She goes, "I want you to work in the back of the house, in the kitchen, under chef's jurisdiction." And the way I went, yay!
But then also, oh, poor chef.
Sure.
Poor chef has to put up with this asshole.
Well, I like that it was specifically, because she makes a point, like, you have to clean the dishes specifically.
Yeah.
It's like, he's not touching food.
But honestly, working a dish pit is probably the hardest fucking job.
1,000%.
In a restaurant.
I did it once before at it was a convenience store that also served, like, hot food.
Uh-huh.
And I did that once before, and it sucks. It fucking sucks.
And imagine doing, like, service for 100 tables.
Yeah.
It is thankless work. It is often underpaid and a lot of stress, and it's just,
and he's not even facing really even half of it, because it's like you aren't serving 100 tables, you're serving like
one.
8 people. You know, yeah. What I mean, so, but still, like,
yeah,
you know. Okay, Marciano decides now he needs to go talk to Hannah about everything. And Hannah is on the fucking... This image was just wild to me. Hannah's on the fucking flower swing with these, like, heart sunglasses, like she's in the 70s or something.
It was great.
But it was just, like, a power position for her to be in. Marciano comes up and goes, "You want to talk?" And Hannah goes, "About what?" He goes, "Us?" She goes, "What's there to talk about?" Like, she's just like, "You're gonna grovel, bitch, really? Like, you really need to." Marciano goes, "I'm an idiot, I'm sorry." Like, very, like, Marciano's tone here was, like, still kind of off for me in terms of it.
Yeah.
Not to say, like, I also am like, Hannah, what did you expect? Like I said earlier, but, like, still, even then, I'm like, your tone should be better, dude.
Yeah.
She goes, "You didn't only hurt me, you hurt everyone in the house. You didn't give a fuck about my feelings. You didn't care. Do you have any respect for me?" And Marcia goes, "Yeah, I do." Like, very, like no energy put into it. Like, he clearly doesn't.
None. Not a drop.
He's like, "I just want to make it up." And she goes, "Make it up? It's so raw. What just happened?" He then goes, "So what do you want to do? I'm leaving it in your hands." Which is not what do you want to do? Like, fuck off.
I was frustrated with that phrasing, but I did at least want to acknowledge that he wasn't trying to control the situation and was trying to give her the ability to move how she felt she needed to move, as opposed to him imposing, like, this is what's next.
Yeah.
Which I think that is correct, but I just, the way you're doing it is just so weird.
It's definitely more of, again, like the Jax vibe.
Yeah.
Like he it's still frustrating and stupid, and he doesn't have the emotional, like, depth for it, but
it's like technically the right thing, but I don't like it.
Yeah. She, when he asked, like, so what do you want to do? She goes, I don't want to do anything right now. Nothing. Nothing at all. And then she walks off, and Erica Fischer goes, he's trash. Trash.
They'll be back together next episode.
1,000. They are going to be fucking by, like, minute 3. Like, when we turn on the episode on Monday. I swear to God. Like that's as much... Because as much as I'm like, yay, cool. She doesn't have self-respect to, like, you know...
She's not there yet.
No. We go to the sleeping quarters, and Gabriella is giving Andre a pedicure as, like, a fun little moment. They're kind of flirting a little bit. They both acknowledge it.
Yeah.
Gabriella, oh my God. Gabriella kind of, like, it was something about as soon as she found out the men were there, she, like, turned her personality on or something. Not to say that she didn't have personality before, but she's just, like, very extra this episode in a way that I don't mind. Yeah. But, like, she does her confessional. I have this weird thing where, like, if I can't have someone, I kind of want them. Like, it's like, it's like the worst. Like, and I cute.
And like, then okay. Almost immediately, doesn't Andre say, like, the same fucking thing in his confessional?
Yeah, basically. He says, like, Gabrielle is, like, a cool girl, and she's, like, he's attracted to her a little bit, and, like, you know.
But he actively, I felt like, said... I mean, the more that I'm told I can't have someone, the more I kind of want them.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that is so toxic, and it is so endemic in our, like, seriously, stop it.
Sometimes you can't have things.
Yeah. It's a problem.
Chizzy and his guests arrive to the villa. The women are all feeling themselves. Like, they were doing, like, runway walks before they came out. Even, like, Caroline, the chef, is, like, getting excited about it and, like, you know.
I wanted Steven to enjoy this moment too.
Okay, can we talk? There was at least one of them that was, I felt, was gay of the group.
Yeah,
there was one. I can't pin. He didn't. They didn't have names for all of them. Well, they did in the beginning, but I would have to go back and look. But it was the one. If you go back and watch the dinner scene, it's the one on the very end, furthest away from the front of the table on the left side. Anyone who wants to go back and watch, I'm almost positive he is gay. Almost positive.
I mean, definitely possible. And there's 7 of the men. So chances are that there's at least 1 or 2.
Yeah.
Like, just statistically speaking. So, like... Don't get it, Steven.
They mingle at the bar, the women who are serving them and the guests. This guy, Dan, who is definitely clearly the one that, like, everyone's, like, gravitating towards, basically. He's like, he tells Hannah, like, where are you from? And she goes, Vegas. And he goes, oh, I love Vegas. She goes, you should let me know next time you're in Vegas. Like, immediately being like, here's my number. Like,
oh, yeah. He was giving me, I think it's Kyle from Summer House.
Kinda.
Like, he was giving me those vibes.
Yeah. So they're cutting literally between them all flirting with the guests and then Marciano in, like, the dish pit trying to, like, figure out how to get the dishwasher to work and stuff like that. And just, like, cutting back and forth between. And they cut back and, like, now they're doing body shots on the bar.
Also, I'm sorry, dishwasher? You're the dishwasher. Scrub.
Yeah. Well, they had one.
No, I know, but still.
Maybe I think it's probably for, like, certain, like, the fancier stuff or something.
Yeah, probably.
But, like, they're doing body shots off the bar. Like, Hannah's doing them off of Dan. Like, Priscilla does one as well.
I don't know about you. Mm-hmm. I would think that if you were doing this for the guests, that they would be doing the body shots off of you.
Yeah. And not to play into, like, gender roles, but, like, isn't it usually men doing them off of women specifically?
Typically. Also, I get that they're in dresses, so their midriffs not accessible. Not in a way that is acceptable 5 seconds after meeting someone in a group setting.
Or in a work environment.
But, like, the body shots aren't already are pushing that line anyway.
Yeah.
But like, you could have stuck a shot glass in your cleavage and him take the shot. Like there were options.
I love that this is what this show is, that we are suggesting different ways for them to be sexual. Yeah, put in your cleavage. And like,
but that's, I don't know. It just felt, usually the body shots are done off of the worker. If you're in that situation,
yeah,
it's off of the worker to the guest, not the other way around.
Yeah.
Like, why is the worker taking shots?
Yeah, I just also never understood body shots. For me, like, I couldn't, like, you know,
yeah,
I don't get the sexiness of it.
No.
It's like, unless you're like someone who's into specifically navels, I don't get it.
Well, they are an erogenous zone.
They can be.
Theoretically.
Yeah.
I don't get it, but you know.
Lisa says in her confessional, normally I wouldn't want the staff drinking, but I'm prepared to turn a blind eye. If that's not the that should be the fucking tagline of Vanderpump Villa at this point. Yeah, the rules are, but it's like, it's the girls, it's fine. Anthony is making Marciano wear one of those hairnet things, like, just to emasculate him even further, which is fantastic. At a certain point, Eric pulls Hannah to the side, and Eric goes, so, like, I just snuck a conversation with your boy Marciano, and she goes, not my boy, but okay.
Like, she's like, I want nothing to do with that piece of shit right now.
She's really quick on the draw. Eric goes, he said, just tell her don't do anything she's going to regret. Can you, like one, fuck you, Eric, for, like, thinking to say that. Two, fuck you, Marciano, for saying that to Eric. Like,
three, that felt like a mob threat.
Yeah, exactly.
I was like, what is she going to do? Be sleeping with the fishes if she does?
But, other than, like, killing her, right? Like, what are you going to fuck another girl? You already cheated on her multiple times.
That's, also, I want to remind everyone that literally before the show started, they broke up because he cheated on her. They were not together coming into this.
Like, what are you? You have no fucking place to stand, motherfucker.
None.
Oh, God. Hannah Erica Russell goes, Marciano is acting like a pompous asshole, and this is why we're not together.
Period.
But you'll be, again.
You will be later, but not now.
Again, 3 minutes, like I said. They go and play Booze and Bowls?
Boulets.
Boulets.
I was like, I swear, if somebody walks out there and it's the Boulet brothers, hello, ugly.
But the weird thing is, like, they're like, it's like bocce or, what's the other one? It started with a P.
There's a double L in it.
Whatever it's called. But just say...
Piccolo or something?
Something. You made
whatever.
Up a word.
I did, pretty much.
But, like, just... I was like, just call it Booze and Bocce. Like, it's literally bocce. What are we doing? Like they wanted to... Like, Lisa genuinely wanted to overcomplicate it.
Honestly, it was a lot. But it's not bocce ball, because it's not... Wait, no, it is bocce. I'm confusing it with croquet now.
Croquet is different.
Croquet is where you hit with the mallet.
With the mallet. This is like the toss.
Is the toss. Yeah, okay.
Gabriella is really into Dan and is like kind of flirting with him. She says, like, in the confessional, Dan's like a 9. He's going to get a little love from me. And they basically, so they're playing bocce, and it's like the losing team, they've decided is going to jump into the pool fully clothed, as like a
quote unquote fully clothed. Fast forward to when they do it, and they're just in underwear,
essentially. Well, some of them were still in their work outfits, which kind of look like underwear once they get.
No. The workers that did it, yes, but the guys were all just in boxers.
Sure, that's right. Well, they
like, but they were the team.
Also, they had like nice suits on—not suits, but like sort of like dress. Like, if I remember correctly, maybe I'm wrong.
It could be cleaned.
Yeah, sure. Gabriella is great though. Like Hannah, it's very clear Hannah's not like hit because Hannah's not a flirter. Hannah's a very pretty girl, but she's not like. I don't think she knows how to, like, romanticize a man.
There's no charm or nuance to it. It's just, I'm pretty, don't you like me?
Yeah.
Which is fine for guys like Marciano. Like, if that's the guys you're going to go for, that's the kind of guys you're going to get.
Right.
But you're not going to get a Dan.
Yeah. Gabriella has Dan, like, blow on her ball for luck or whatever. Like,
that's dirty.
That's like, yes. But that's also, like, classic, like 60s movie stuff. Like, what is it? Like,
yeah. But it's also, like, there's, like, a an old world charm to it, and also a flipping of the roles, because usually it's a guy asking a girl to blow on her dice at like the craps table.
Right, right, right.
So it's also Gabriella going, oh no, I've got the power right now, bitch. You blow on my ball. It was like, oh, this is kind of hot. Grace, I like this.
Grace saying, suck my dick. Gabriella saying, blow on my your balls. Gender is a construct.
Don't we know it?
They get all set up for dinner. You were like, because Lisa at one point goes, I really like, you like it, right? It looks more masculine, right? It's gorgeous. And you were like, this is masculine to you, Lisa? It's just, there's brown tones. That's not masculine.
Honestly, because it was like, I mean, it wasn't even, there weren't even really brown tones. It was green and white. And I'm like, I get that it's like not pink, but it's also still a pretty light color palette. And usually we associate the more pastel color palettes with femininity and lightness and all of that. And masculinity have more the dark tones. Like, yeah. I would have liked, if you were going to go for a quote unquote masculine tablescape, give me like navy blues, give me dark earthy greens, give me, you know, like burgundies, give like all of those dark colors.
It was like she was trying for that, but didn't do, like she didn't go anywhere. It was like the tinges of like a burgundy.
Right.
Like it didn't go like far enough, like, to where
your accent color needed to not be white, and it didn't need to be in the flowers.
Yeah.
The flowers needed to be those dark colors with gold accents and metallics that are like in the candles and those sorts of things. And those could be white. But like there needed to be so much dark richness to it. That's more of a masculine color scheme.
Right. I agree. Caroline is introducing the meal for tonight. Can we talk about this menu that they fucking gave these people? Because they really were leaning into the men thing. Like they, like this whole episode, it's like everything is men. And so, but the, so the menu, they have an amuse-bouche of a pigs in a blanket, which,
which was the, what was that on top of it?
It wasn't like caviar. It looked like
capers almost,
like baked beans or like tiny, like.
But it was green, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was like, so it looked disgusting.
It looked awful.
So they do that. Then they do tomato soup and grilled cheese. Like,
honestly, I'd have ate the fuck out of that because I love
soup. It just seemed, but it just seemed weird for the environment, right?
Really, like,
you know what I
it
mean?
It wasn't even men. It was, they framed it around children.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, honestly,
it's like men like sports. What do you have at sports? You have corn dogs. Yeah, we'll do that. What is a real simple meal? The men just love soup and grilled cheese. Okay,
give
and
roast beef.
Oh, roast beef. It's like, what are we doing? Do you think these are cavemen?
I know, right? And then they end it with spotted dick, which it's like, okay, that's so fucking on the nose.
Well, and did. I don't remember which one it was. I want to say it's Dan just because that would be the funniest, but I don't remember.
Have Hannah say it.
Oh, no, where he said, I need some more cream on this.
Oh, yeah.
On what do you call it? And then she said, spotted dick. Yeah, I need more cream on my spotted dick.
Lisa,
I was like, that's so fucking dirty.
But also worse than that, Lisa goes, before they eat dinner, goes, we will serve spotted dick, but we hope you don't leave with one. Cheers to that. And we...
So are you calling your girls diseased? Are you saying your girls have gonorrhea or something else that might give them a dick that has spots on it?
Yeah.
That's...
I need Lisa to get off the sex train for like 5 minutes on this show. Like,
it's been so long since she's had it.
Yeah, just ask about Ken. She brings it up on Vanderpump.
I just calm down, girl.
Yeah. They then go outside after dinner and they set up this old fashioned bar that does like to make old fashions. Eric in his confessional goes, I'm going to the old fashioned bar and I'm going to do what I do best. Pour shots down their throats if they want it.
What? That's also, awful. Say old fashioned again.
Yeah. But also, it's like, this is where it's also like frustrating, where it's like, this is a bar specifically designed for a specific cocktail, right?
Right.
That's not like, that's also not a shot, right? Like, and you just want to pour tequila in their mouths again?
Also, are you stupid? Do you know why people like have shots poured down their throat? It's a sexual thing. Yeah. It's about the person pouring the shot, not the shot itself. None of those guys want it from you.
Right.
Go get a girl.
Exactly. The one girl that's there, she probably wouldn't be like, eh. The ladies then all join them and they're in like these like white, like, well, most of them are in like white dresses or whatever. Andre in his confessional goes, we're in trouble because the ladies like what they see. Okay, cool. Like, again, like they have, like, you guys have been, not you, Andre, you're fine. But like, you guys have been doing this for like fucking three episodes now.
But give Andre a minute. He'll get to something that wasn't fine.
Yeah. Eric, like everyone's, because Eric is like going, like, you want a shot? You want a shot? And they're all just like, no, I think I'm good, bro. And there's like, maybe pop some champagne. And they're like, no, we're good. Eric's confessional goes, they don't even want to do the traditional pop champagne, take shots to the face.
What tradition? What?
It's apparently Eric's tradition for the Vanderpump Villa.
I guess.
It's like three episode tradition. And then he goes, I wish Marciano was out of the freaking dish pit. I wish. Like,
it was so Sandoval coded.
Yeah.
It turned my stomach how he said that.
Oh, man. Hannah says, a professional, now I'm going to go grab a drink with Dan at the bar because he seems like a man of substance as opposed to Marciano. But that's what I was talking about before, just like the substance thing. Like, I don't think she's ever had to engage with a man of substance.
Yeah.
And it kind of shows in this conversation. Like, Telly leaves the bar for the second to a second to where they're alone. And she just goes, what was your longest relationship?
Well, the frustrating thing about Hannah is that her and Marciano are actually on the same level and they are kind of opposite sides of the same coin.
Right.
She's not mature enough to date above that yet.
Yeah.
She needs time to cook.
Because he asks, like, have you been in a long relationship in your 20s? And she's like, yeah, off and on. He goes, what's been missing? She goes, I just feel like I went with the wrong guy. You know, I have to respect myself as a woman and move on. And it's one of those things where it's like she's saying the right words, but like you're saying, like she doesn't.
But even then, I felt like that was such a shallow answer to that because it could have easily been. You could have had the same answer with a better formulation of it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
To where it is like, you know, I was just like latching on to toxic men. And, you know, I just want better for myself now. I feel like I'm better than that. I feel like I'm better than letting men walk all over me like that. And I deserve more. That's a fucking million times better than the response she gave.
Right.
And I feel like maybe he wouldn't have been so disengaged from her if she had given that answer.
He is so disengaged. Like, there's such
he does not give a fuck.
There's like an awkward silence. And he just goes, yeah. And Hannah goes, that's awesome.
And then Eric walks in and saves it with shots.
He goes, we need to turn this freaking party up. Can I pop champagne or what? And Dan's like, let's pop champagne. I'm like, why not? I also feel so bad. Priscilla's like eating by herself in the staff quarters while everyone else is. Because I guess she's like, I haven't found like my like friend group in here. And like, I, you know.
Yeah.
But all, and she's like, everyone's loud. That was like, okay, I resonate with that. Like, I'm like, like, I would much rather just be eating alone when, like, everyone is getting too fucking crazy.
Sure, but it is real hard to make friends when you separate yourself from the pool of people you could make friends with.
I know.
So, like, you have to actually go outside.
I guess.
And interact with society.
Yeah.
Just a little bit.
Hannah says in her confessional, as much as I want to get back on Marciano, I'm not just going to hook up with someone to be spiteful because she realizes it's going nowhere with Dan. So
she acts like it's her idea.
Yeah. I planned this.
I curbed him.
Congratulations, Gabriella. So Dan then starts talking to Gabriella outside and like they're kind of hitting it off really well. Gabriella says, you know, Dre's on the roster, but let's not jump the gun. We're not like in love, which sure.
Right. Because you've not even actually discussed the possibility of even hinting towards a relationship.
Right.
You have merely flirted in each other's general directions. And Andre feels like that means that she is his.
He literally is. I'm confused. Like, I felt like we were flirting. It's like, yes.
You were. Were.
Like
yesterday,
and it might be different today when or the next day when Dan leaves. So
might
like,
be
it just happens that way. Dan and Gabrielle are talking to the side because they all jump in the pool, but then they like get in their robes or whatever and talk to the side. He goes, you know, when we first arrived, Hannah gave like amazing party vibes. And then we hung out tonight. When we hung out tonight, me and Gabriella, we actually talked about life. You're definitely my type. And it was like, really, this was really sweet. And then he goes, can I kiss you?
The fact that he asked.
Yeah, it was like, God, oh my God, a man like not forcing himself on a woman on this show?
Consent is sexy, y'all.
Yeah.
That was fucking sexy as hell. And he's not even, to me, like my type per se.
Yeah.
But like, damn it.
And even though like we talk about like the workplace versus like whatever, like melding, like at least here it is the guest initiating. Right.
Well, and there again, there is respect in this where I don't feel like there was respect in the Eric lap dancing and the Marciano kissing what's her Gail. You know, like all of that felt very much like men marking their territory.
Right.
Where this felt like a genuine connection.
Yeah.
This is something that you go to HR and go, hey, this is a relationship existing, as opposed to going to HR and going, this motherfucker needs to be fired.
Yeah.
You know, it's a different vibe. It's very different.
Yeah, I agree. That's the main, we haven't also talked about like they do when they do the credits, they do like a like funny, like ending scene, like that's like innocuous. There's that one of Eric riding that broom. Like he was in fucking Hogwarts or something. Like
what the entire fuck? Also, my culture is not a costume. I mean, I say that in jest. That's not to make fun of people who actually have that real concern. Like,
but I don't
Native American people, and you know all of these sorts.
But I was confused. Like, I don't think he was even doing like a Harry Potter reference. I think he was like acting as though it was a horse.
No, it was Wizard of Oz.
Oh,
because when they question him on it later as he's running by, he goes, I'm riding a broom in a tornado.
Oh, I didn't hear
that.
So
it's Wizard of Oz.
Yeah. So it's on the edge.
It's on the edge.
Yeah. That was Vanderpump Villa for this week. This was a lighter episode, a little nicer, had like wasn't as toxic. So
right.
Had to have one of those at the very least. So we're going to take a quick commercial break, and then when we come back, we're talking the newest episode of Vanderpump Rules. Don't go anywhere.
Well, hello, friends. I'm your pal in the mainstream media.
And I'm the Riz.
And, you know, Riz, it takes years of strenuous, dedicated training before you're worthy to step inside a professional wrestling ring. But it takes even more time to develop complex, highly astute opinions about professional wrestling. Am I right?
That is correct. Yes. And you know where we can find that?
Yes.
On the Wrestling Man.
That's right.
Do you want something new to put on your reading list? Are you feeling your holiday spirit grow while also being astutely politically in tune?
Then you'll want to pick up The Santa Strike, a new book by Shanna Hamaker.
While home in Midland, Texas, on a weekend visit with the eccentric uncle who raised him, Marion Wachlowski, otherwise known as Mary, discovers a long-forgotten letter Uncle Joe wrote to Santa Claus. Mary keeps it to share with his girlfriend Lindsay and his best friend Tommy. At first, they consider the letter to be nothing more than a silly lark. What kind of grown man would write a letter to Santa? But soon, Mary and Lindsay find themselves caught in a much larger mystery, concerning many, many more letters to Santa, all surrounding the crisis of gun violence in America.
You can order The Santa Strike now on Amazon, available both on Kindle and in paperback.
Sidekick Media Services. We are your sidekick in business for social media, video production, and more. Find out more at sidekickmediaservices.com.
Welcome back to A Gay and His Envy. Let's head to West Hollywood, where Rachel appears on a podcast where she'd just be lying, and the ladies come together to find Lala a sperm donor that's good as gold on Vanderpump Rules.
Vanderpump Rules for this week. I like this episode. I think it was in the terms of the proportion in which people made Sandoval look like a fucking asshole.
Yes. This is what the whole season should have been.
It's like, oh my God, guys, you figured it out. The formula that we all told you, like, what we wanted. Like,
it wasn't that difficult, but apparently it was.
Yeah. It's like, it's, yeah, we'll get into it when we go through everything, because there is a lot to talk about. We start the episode with Sheena, and she's shooting her Good as Gold music video at Kyle Chan's store, which, sure.
They have a jewelry store, I guess, is what that was.
That makes sense or whatever, why he's friends with Sandoval.
Like, oh, yeah.
Because it's like he's probably giving him so many fucking discounts because Sandoval's not buying all like the stuff he gifts people and all that.
You know,
stuff.
And then, you know, in order to get those discounts, he probably brings him a coffee or something every time he sees him.
Probably.
Because, you know, he has to have a gift.
Lala and Ariana arrive. You know, notice Ariana being there for Sheena. Just going to say that. Sheena tells him, I just got Katie's text. Like, what the fuck? And Katie apparently texted, hey, I can't be there. And Sheena's like, why? And she just sent a photo of herself, like, is this the most, like, modeled, like, six shot? And she goes, deathbed. My body aches. My head hurts.
It's like the glamorous toothache, glamorous headache.
Yeah. She Facetuned that. And it was like, it was
good. This is also going on Instagram.
Sheena in her confessional goes, I mean, are you really sick or are you really trying to avoid Lala after that big fight? What's annoying me about Sheena and Lala, particularly Sheena, can they fucking stop assuming literally the worst of literally everything without any evidence?
It is.
There's no way Katie's sick, right? Like, there's
no because sickness doesn't happen, Eamon.
No,
I don't know if you knew that. Sickness does not happen unless you will it to because you want to avoid someone,
right?
Apparently,
it's like, and also, it's like, oh, she like got out of being sick, or she got out of being at this music video shoot, so she wouldn't have to be around Lala because of their fight. Meanwhile, later in the episode, Katie is at Lala's sperm party. So, like, what's the fucking like?
Which happens before, you know, Sheena is filming that confessional. So, why did she say that?
Yeah, it's stupid.
When she knew that wasn't. I'm so irritated.
Oh my God. Sheena in her confessional. When I recorded Good as Gold, I could never imagine 10 years later that I would be filming a music video for it. I mean, yeah, because typically 10 years is way too long for a music video.
Well, to be fair though, she's not doing a music video for Good as Gold. She's doing a music video for Emo as Gold.
Yeah. When she goes, I just realized how positive music has been for me. It gives me a creative outlet to just let my feelings out. Okay. I'm all for what Sheena does throughout this episode in relation to the Apple song. Don't get me wrong, because I don't give a fuck about Sandoval. Like, who gives a fuck?
Clearly.
I will say this whole narrative setting of like, it's not like my creative outlet to like get my feelings out. That's why I love music. What?
You know, Sheena, who notoriously hides and masks her feelings from everyone, who never actually talks about how she feels or, you know, tries to center things on herself or anything like that.
But so there's that, right? And then for me, what I was thinking was like, oh, yeah, you know, Sheena using music as a sentimental outlet to get out emotions through lyrical work. That's definitely why she wrote Good as Gold, which is the most vapid ass fucking song.
Well, that's just how she feels.
Yeah.
That is her feelings, Eamon. That's valid.
Oh my God.
Her feelings are valid, Eamon.
This beat makes me come alive. Anyways.
Because I'm good as gold.
God damn it. Oh, man. We then go to James and Allie at their house. So this is I call out what Sandoval like set scenes, and I understand that it's television, so it's like whatever. But this was such a set scene. It's Allie in the living room, and he goes, James, apparently Rachel went on some podcast.
Some podcast.
She was like blaming hippies' behavior on you. Like, what the fuck? And James goes, she thinks she has this like whole platform where she's going to like talk shit about me and like make me seem like a bad doggy dad. Like, it's ridiculous.
Doggy dad? Really, James? Doggy dad?
Okay. So when I had no idea that we were getting any of this. I don't know why, like, the timeline was, like, I didn't realize Rachel's podcast with Bethany came out when they were filming.
Yeah, I feel like it was, I feel like we realized it at the time, but, like, it just got buried.
Yeah.
Like, you just forget.
Did you, Lala asked them if they listened to the podcast, and Sheena goes, I've been literally going since like 7 a.m. So like I haven't listened to anything. Like I've only had people like text me, but like I've not been able to catch up. And then Lala goes, what was it about? And Sheena goes, she says that they were just acquaintances.
Like, Sheena reads the transcript.
I wasn't able to like catch up on anything. By the way, so she said this, 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 and this.
And the inflection that she used when she said this was really troubling.
Sheena literally was listening to the podcast between breaks of this music video.
Oh, you know she was.
1,000%. But yeah, Sheena's like, she says that they were just like acquaintances at best, meaning Ariana. And Ariana goes, that's funny because our Instagrams are filled with us hanging out. Like, what are you talking about? Which I, like, at the time, I even was like, that's the stupidest thing to say, Rachel. That's just like, and that's, and Ariana lays out, she goes, Rachel and I spent a lot of time together. When she says we weren't that good of friends, it's either her telling herself that just that, telling herself that just so she feels better about what she did, or it's her saying, I didn't really think fucking shit of Ariana. So it's like either way, it's not fucking great and it doesn't help your fucking case, girl. Like no one, like that whole Rachel podcast with Bethany, particularly some of her other like podcast episodes too, but it was just like so gaslighty and
well, and it just, it was very clear from like, we did like a whole segment on that podcast.
Oh, that's right. We did. Yeah.
And it was very clear that this was heavily produced in that there was a lot of pre-planning of answers in order for a certain narrative to go out. And that pre-planning was not done by Rachel.
No.
It was clearly done by Bethany.
And Bethany couldn't even research it.
Yeah.
Like, I love when they were on the after show and Ariana was like the host of the podcast, which they never say her name. Host of the podcast was like getting mad because she got all this backlash because she didn't like watch the fucking show and have facts.
Did you not learn from Howie Mandel? And yeah. I was like, you name dropped Howie Mandel, but not Bethany. Fuck that bitch. Yeah. I'm so happy they did that.
Yeah. Sheena goes, because Sheena didn't read anything. Sheena goes, she said I had some like savior complex and that our friendship was equally beneficial as far as how much I helped her. She helped me. And she's like, I paid rent. I paid the bills. Like, bitch, you contributed $1,000 to my $4,300 rent. You didn't pay for parking. You didn't pay for cable. You didn't even stock toilet paper. And you had sex in my bed. Like, Jesus Christ, Sheena. Like, but also, why is the toilet paper becoming like a recurring? How dare you not stock toilet paper
or pens or batteries?
Yeah. And like, I still believe Sheena probably more than not, but it's like she's very obsessed with this whole like living situation. It's a little like, it doesn't matter really.
I believe Sheena because I don't believe Rachel.
Yeah.
Because Sheena has earned my trust.
Did you see what Rachel posted on her social media after the episode?
Absolutely not.
She posted like splat of like, as if it was like a call out of like, this is them talking about what I said on the podcast on the episode versus what I said on the podcast. And it was just like, yeah, it was exactly what they said. You said, I don't get your point.
Also, like, I love how she literally is defending that podcast now when at the beginning of her podcast, I'm pretty sure she buried that episode and talked about how shitty it was. Talked about how it wasn't accurate at all. And like pretty much.
I don't know if she expressly said that. I think she definitely contradicted herself from that podcast a lot in her new podcast.
To me, came across as this was not the truth. What I'm saying now is the truth.
Right. It's hard to tell. Like it's really hard to tell.
It really is. And it's just like, it makes me not believe anything that she says because she's constantly contradicting herself.
Well,
because
remember, she was then like, she's like current day saying, you know, I would have never come back because I wouldn't do that to Ariana and like put her through that. But then on the podcast, she said the reason she didn't come back because they wouldn't pay her enough. And then like,
but then also we weren't really friends. So why do you care about whether you come back or not?
Right. Yeah. There, like I said, there's a couple things that I think Rachel says correctly, particularly around Tom on like her podcast nowadays. But other than that, I really don't take credence in much of what she says. I will say I am hopeful with this episode because at the very least it shows that they can talk about her podcast.
Yes.
And I really think at the reunion they need to talk about her podcast, specifically what she claims led to her cutting off Sandoval.
Yeah. Because he has painted a narrative and he needs to be held accountable for his part.
And he's going to need to answer something other than it's just bullshit. It's like bullshit. Yeah. Yeah.
But Andy's not going to do that because he likes Sandoval and he refuses to acknowledge that Sandoval was toxic in this situation.
Right.
He keeps being confused as to why the audience doesn't side with him. I don't understand.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
Allie goes, it's just no accountability. She says that she was just upset after your breakup that she wasn't over you. She never actually loved Tom, which is funny because that's not what she was saying last summer.
At all.
Yeah. And it's just like, God, it's really, you know, frustrating, I would say, for the most part. James goes, he invited me to his studio space tomorrow. He offered for me to open for his band at the El Rey, which I guess is like a big venue. And like, but James is like, I don't know if I want to do that. Like, it's like, you know, I just am conflicted by the whole thing, basically. And so,
like, why is James opening for Tom Sandoval?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
James is the bigger act.
Honestly, at this point,
like, I would pay to go see James. I would not take a payment to go see Tom Sandoval.
Right.
Like, he's literally going to be, I think, up in Erie, Pennsylvania, which is like an hour from us. Or no, not quite Erie. It's like halfway between Pittsburgh and Erie in like a couple weeks. And I thought about it for half a second going because they're free tickets. Who gives a shit? But it's like, I don't even want to see him for free. I don't know if I would go if they were paying me to go. I don't want to.
No.
It's not good. It's not good. We know it's not good. We've seen it on the show. It's not good.
They cut back to the women and Lala goes, so sperm donor party. I have a question. Is your house available? Because you have one of those still, which is actually coming in handy right now. I would have, like, the way I would have strangled her if I was Ariana. Fucking dare you shit on me? And I guess Ariana doesn't even know this because she's doing it a lot in confessional and not in her face. But like, how dare you fucking shit on me time and time again for staying in this house? You know, not listen to my side of things, not listen to why I have to do it, etc. Just shit on me for it over and over again. And then be like, can I borrow the house? Like, if I was Ariana, I would be like, you should ask Tom. Clearly, it's his house in your mind.
In your mind.
In your mind. Yeah, I would have lost my goddamn mind.
Like,
Lala is showing some damn audacity. Ariana goes, I don't know if I can. It's a hot mess now with Anne, but I would love to. You can get inseminated in my new house if you want. And then they show, like, when she says it's a mess now that Anne's gone, no, it is. It's fully a fucking mess. There is stuff every fucking where. And, oh, wow. Can you believe it? Not only is Ariana messy, but you're telling me Tom is messy as well?
Because he clearly wasn't cleaning anything up. It was all Anne.
I just remember Sandoval ranting about how Ariana's so fucking lazy.
And also,
she can't even wipe her own ass.
Also, he's got a new assistant. What is that motherfucker doing?
Nothing. By the way, we see him later in the episode and he like pours a drink and that is it. When there's like shit everywhere.
Fucking man.
I swear to God. Lala says that Lisa said, if you need anything, just let her know or whatever. So she's thinking of hosting it there. We then go over to Schwartz at his apartment, and like Joe's not there anymore. And so he's also, you know, sad. He's playing with the dogs. Sandoval stops by and goes, hi, like all like performatively sad.
Yeah.
Already. So it's good. Say hi to the boys. Say hi to the, and Sandoval sits down and goes, sorry, I'm just like really shell shocked right now. Like Raquel went on a podcast. I just listened to it. She's like, I wasn't in love with Tom, and she's acting like somehow I somehow got the worst. She somehow got the worst of it out of everybody. Schwartz goes, I mean, you both got it bad. Like, I could say arguably she did get the worst out of it out of everyone. I think that's tangible. Like within months, you got another TV gig, that Special Forces show. So I would probably, and she was in a mental health facility.
Yeah, but he lost out on Winter House. Amen.
Yeah. It took a pay, like she's literally having to pay like a giant bill in terms of staying in this mental health facility. But it's like, yeah, you got paid a little less, buddy. Like, oh my God, you had to tour. Sandoval goes, I made changes to myself, like thinking that, and then he like pauses to cry, like clearly like the dramatic pause, thinking that maybe one day she'd see all of that hard work that I've done for myself and would appreciate it. I'm like, of course, he is the victim. He is the victim because she will not be with him, have sex, like, because she's obligated to it, right? She's obligated to, like, be with him forever.
I just need them to, like, turn the camera to Schwartz and see him over there cutting onions just off screen.
Yeah.
And wafting the fumes towards Sandoval.
No, this is good, bro. This is good. But also, like, I made changes to myself. What? Like, you're performatively not drinking? That's you making, you've objectively gotten worse by every standard.
Yeah. Turns out it wasn't the alcohol that made you a fucking asshole.
Yeah, exactly. So
that's just you.
It's just like, you haven't done any work, whatever. But and I saw someone who's just like, he is just so mad that they deprogrammed her.
Yeah.
That's what they deprogrammed her. And now he's out of like her clutches.
Yeah.
She's out of his clutches, and like that, he doesn't know how to handle it.
Rachel or Ariana?
Rachel.
Ariana deprogrammed herself.
Well, yes.
Was never fully programmed to begin with.
Rachel, because he doesn't give a fuck about Ariana. He barely mentions Ariana like she exists.
Yeah, that's fair.
So it's like, what? Like, you know?
I mean, that's why he kept trying to pressure her to leave the facility.
Right.
Because he wanted to catch it before it was finished.
He goes, to go through all that and not give it a shot? Like, what was it all for? Again, it was as if hurting Ariana, like, was for a bigger purpose. It's just narcissistic craziness. He goes, I don't understand how she can think that I was anything but someone who just loved and cared about her.
Bitch, where?
You went, oh my God, you went and did songs about her while she was in a fucking mental health facility. I just loved and cared about her. Delusional. Fucking delusional. We then go, Lisa's arriving at Tom Tom because they're planning on adding brunch to the menu with Pump closing. So they've like morphed Pump's brunch into.
I don't know why I always kind of assumed that they had brunch.
I guess maybe not a formal one, like a formal brunch menu, but like maybe. Okay.
Never mind. I think they had like a food menu, but maybe they just weren't open as early as brunch.
Maybe that's possible.
Maybe that's what it is.
Schwartz,
are they going to do drag shows there?
Maybe
they've got the space for it.
They do.
They could put it out in the courtyard in the back.
If I was a self-respecting drag queen, I wouldn't step foot in there.
That's fair.
To be honest. Schwartz arrives and he's got like drinks to like try out for the menu. Lisa's like, can we get the hair out of the way first? Should I shave it off? Like, cause he's still got the blonde. Logan is behind the bar. And I was like, for some reason I thought they were always two different people. So this Logan is also the Logan that's friends with Ariana.
Yes.
Who broke the penis flute and all that.
Uh-huh.
But so Logan,
how he still works at TomTom, I have no clue.
Well, here's the thing: it's Lisa's. The other thing: it's Lisa's restaurant. It's not their restaurant.
Which we were always led to believe it was their restaurant,
right?
But Lisa was just like a financial backer.
But no, she has like 90. She owns like 95% of it.
I own 95% of this bar.
It's really just for them. Like, they can trot out and act as though they're the owners for a couple scenes on the show.
Right.
That's all it fucking is.
Right.
Like, it's so, yeah.
They're the namesakes, and really, that's it.
Yeah. Logan's like, there's something about the bleach blonde, and Lisa goes, that turns you on? Like, no, not really. But Logan jokes about it. Sandoval is supposed to be there at 1:15 for this meeting, and it's 1:45. Lisa's like pissed about it, obviously. And Schwartz goes, can I say something on that note? Like, I'm a little worried about Tom. You know, after listening to that podcast came out, I think he listened to it in the hopes that she'd like say something. And Logan goes, nice. She didn't.
Because you know Logan was listening first 5 minutes it came out.
Yeah, but also, I'm sorry, Schwartz, stop. Fucking stop. He is late to everything.
Everything.
He is consistently fucking late. On the show, off the show, he was late to the Nick Vial podcast. Don't blame it on his depression.
No.
I'm sick of this.
I blame it on his narcissism.
Yeah.
Because it has to be about him.
Lisa goes, who cares right now? As long as she's safe and well, she doesn't love Tom. I think she's been open about that. You know, Lisa's kind of just like worried about her business. Sandoval arrives and Lisa goes, hey, you're late. And Sandoval goes, yeah, sorry. Like, again, because he's only a 5% like partner, or at this point, like 2.5% when you factor in Schwartz. But like the way he speaks to Lisa as a business partner, unacceptable to me.
But the thing is I'm thinking back, he's always talked to her like that.
Yeah. I don't know why she puts up with it
at all.
It's wild. Lisa goes, you want to do this? You don't have to do this. Basically, we don't have to talk about this. He goes, I brought some strawberry puree. And then he goes,
there's a gift.
Yeah. Exactly. Sure, I guess. Like, we'll talk. Lisa goes, why are you so unhappy? Tom says you were listening to the podcast. Why are you listening to it? And Sandoval goes, I'm listening to it because I want to know what's being said about me. It's bullshit. Lisa goes, so why even invest in it? Sandoval goes, I don't know, Lisa.
You're tearing me apart, Lisa. It was very bad. It was very Tommy Wiseau.
Yeah. Lisa goes, another one's coming out tomorrow. You're going to listen to that and torture yourself? And Sandoval goes, yes, I'm going to.
Idiot.
Lisa then says in her confessional, I don't want Sandoval to start spiraling after we just got him to a place where we're all starting to even out. What can Raquel actually say that is going to make her look in a better light?
Oh, yeah. Blame it all on her.
Right. How dare... But that's the other thing. It's like, how dare Rachel have a voice? How dare she? Sandoval can talk about how he feels about Rachel. Everyone else can talk about the situation. Rachel can't have a voice.
Well, no. Women aren't allowed to have a voice in Vanderpump's world. That's like... Even like if you go back and look at a couple episodes on Vanderpump Villa, she silences Telly from expressing her frustrations. Shit, like Lisa has this history of women not being able to have agency around her.
Yeah.
They are not allowed.
And that the worst part in terms of this, like if we're looking at more like logistically, it's either because she's pissed that Rachel's not coming back to the show.
Yeah.
So therefore, like, we don't know what, like, it's, again, that affects Lisa's pocketbook. And two, she's framing it again around, like, Sandoval's mental health, which, one, again, it's not on Rachel to not keep him from, like, sorry, from killing himself.
Yeah.
Like, it's not.
It's not on her. Like, I hope that doesn't happen, but I don't think it will because I don't think he was ever actually in that way.
We made it fucking clear, and I will make a point when we get to the scene with James at the rehearsal where I am so sorry about being dismissive of his mental health, but he is given every ability to show that this is not about his mental health. His mental health is perfectly fucking fine. I'll say this. Maybe he had a moment, but at this point, he is not mentally unwell.
Well, I mean, he's unwell, but just not in that direction.
Yeah, sorry. The people who are genuinely going through depressive moments do not act the way he acts.
At all.
1,000%. Lisa then goes, what's happening to the house? Sandoval goes, Ariana finally responded to the offer and she wanted to accept. I was like, what?
That's not what happened.
That's not true.
That's not what happened at all.
I feel like Candy in that meme with Portia going, you just made that up.
Who said that? Who said that? It's a different moment, but yeah.
Yeah, she never accepted the, like, she responded to my offer and accepted. No, she provided a counter offer. That's not.
He's just so fucking delusional. Like, I just, like, he's either delusional or he's a liar, and I think it's both.
Yeah. Lisa then goes, so are you going to sell it or buy her out? And Sandoval goes, I'm taking a couple days to just think about it. You know, that offer I gave her was over 2 months ago, and my thoughts have maybe changed since then. The way he has to spin this, the way he has to spin this as he is still in control, he's like, I don't know if I want to buy her out anymore. Fuck off.
But then later it's that his financial situation has changed.
Well, that's what he says. He goes, Ariana took so long to get back to me that I'm now on the fence of whether I want to keep it all at all or can keep the house at all. If I have to refinance, it would be more than double what I'm currently paying. Yeah, you fucking moron. Which is why Ariana always wanted to sell the fucking house. Oh, he's such an idiot. He's such a fucking idiot.
I am so sick of men on these shows refusing to listen to women because they think they have it figured out.
Yeah.
But they think they have it figured out when all they did was like write on a piece of paper with crayon and go, this is what I think it is.
Yeah. Like, but that's the thing. It's like,
there's no actual research that goes into anything. There's no actual deep thinking and actual logical steps taken. Yeah. And all of the,
but that's the thing. At best, he's just an idiot who doesn't think through things. At worst, he's doing this shit to be vengeful.
Right.
Right? To stick it to Ariana. And it's like, you're not sticking it to Ariana. I will say that other than the voice of public opinion, which is now like what Lala's promoting and what of like, why didn't she just leave the house? Why didn't she just, you know, just move on? She wants to move on. He's the one not letting her move on because he won't make the obvious fucking decision that needs to be fucking made.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. Like, if they were to sell the house like Ariana wanted, that was something that was going to be equitable, not just for Ariana, but for you.
Right.
It's not about her ego. It's not about what she just was like, this is the thing to do. She lays it out the way she lays it out with such clear facts on the after show where she's just like, because in order to get me off of the fucking mortgage and get me off of the fucking HELOC loan that I signed off on you for, you need to refinance. Like, that's not like you actually have to refinance.
I can't just take an eraser to it.
Right.
That's not how this works.
And because you do that, your 2021 rate now goes into a 2023 rate, which is now post-inflation, which is going to go.
Right.
Like, it's just blatantly obvious, dude.
It's just, it's so frustrating how she has literally laid out all of these very logical, makes sense, like this is the best course of action.
And that's something crazy. Like anyone who's like owned a home knows this.
Right. And every single time she is met with Sandoval and either his sycophants or bots or whatever,
yeah,
that are acting like she's being extremely emotional and all of this stuff. And it's like, no. Number one, when a woman has an opinion and has thought this stuff out, that does not mean that she's emotional just because she's a woman. We're going to stop that narrative right the fuck now.
Right.
And number two, you can go fuck yourself, you piece of shit, because now I'm going to get emotional. Yeah. Because fuck you, you narcissistic, cheating asshole.
Yeah. The way she breaks it down even on the after show, she talks about like, you know, I got dragged in the first episode when I made that comment to Katie in the kitchen being like, what I think is psychotic is that he wants to buy me out and live in the house himself. And she says like, that, like, clearly that was correct. That is psychotic. And she says in the after show, key word, want. I want $1 million. Doesn't mean I'm going to fucking get it.
Right.
He never had the money to buy her out.
Even if we were talking 2021, he never had the money for that. Having to refinance at double the inflation rate, or the interest rate, that's not going to happen. You're smoking crack if you think that's going to happen.
Yeah.
Stop it.
Lala stops by Tom to ask Lisa, like, may I host my sperm donor party at your home tomorrow? And Lisa goes, everyone's going to be jerking off in my back garden. I love that she literally thought, like, we were going to bring men, give them, like, Jesus Christ. Schwartz goes, are we invited? And Lala goes, no.
Also, that's a very different kind of party. That's not for television.
Yeah.
No.
And also, Sandoval's, like, sulking as this is happening, like, pouring drinks in the fucking back or whatever. Like, if I was Lala, I wouldn't want Sandoval at my fucking party to decide the fucking sperm donation for my fucking child. Like, I don't want his vote in terms of any of that.
Can also she just pick a side?
Yeah.
She goes so, like, I'm getting whiplash from how quickly she goes back and forth between being Sandoval's friend and not. Pick a side, and I will have so much more respect for you than I do right now.
Right. Sheena and Brock stop by Ariana's house, and so she tells them, so Logan was at Tom Tom earlier. He said that he's now having second thoughts, and he might want to sell the house, which is what I wanted from the fucking beginning. And the house could have been sold in fucking March, and I could have been fucking out of here.
Literally.
Thank God she told that to Sheena and Brock, being like, if you come at me with this shit, just know this is the situation.
Yeah.
She says her confessional, maybe when he got an actual look at what it took to buy me out of the house, he realized financially you just can't fucking do it, which I could have also told you from day one. She goes, being right is hard sometimes, especially when it's always the case. Honestly. Ariana then tells Sheena, also, apparently, he's, like, going through it over that, like, podcast. Sheena goes, he didn't know that it was three parts. And then Brock goes, we got part four dropping. It's called part four, how you like them apples. Like, Brock thought he ate with that.
He really did.
And Brock, I forgot where it was, but, like, Brock was saying, like, yeah, we, like, actively encourage Sheena. Like, get the Apple song out now. Like, don't wait until a couple more months. Like, do it right now with the podcast being out. Okay, like, fucking stage dad. Like, it's like, we get it. Like,
I mean, it makes sense from a marketing standpoint, but if it's not ready, it's not ready.
Yeah. Sheena says, the song when I wrote it was only about Raquel, but then we wanted to extend the second verse and had some lines that we added that were so directed at Tom. I'm just trying to take a traumatic experience and turn it into a piece of art. Again, your traumatic experience. Like, as if it's about you. Like,
also, if it was about releasing traumatic experiences, you would have asked Ariana to be on the track.
Sure.
You would have asked her to help you write it. You would have given her space to express her trauma going through all of this.
Did you see the excuse that she also gave on the after show, Sheena, about this? Where she was like, I came into the studio with, like, the 27s, and they were like, what's going on in your life that you can write a song about? And I was like, well, then I guess I have to write a song about, like, blaming them almost, as to be like, I was going to write a song about just, like, my lipstick. And then they were like, well, what about the things in your life? And I'm like, oh, well, Tom Sandoval. Like,
but also, why are we booking studio time, which is expensive, right?
Yeah.
Why are you booking studio time to write the song? You come to the studio when you have the song written and you're ready to lay down a track.
Right.
Like, I'm not spending hundreds of dollars per hour to rent a studio and pay for a producer and a mixer and all of those people when I don't have a fucking song to record.
Yeah.
What are we doing?
That's true.
That's not what happened.
Sheena. Poor Sheena. She and Brock are helping Ariana get, like, the house together. They're, like, moving even, like, Sandoval stuff, like, around the house.
Because also, sorry to interrupt.
So go ahead.
But also, because later in this episode, when they're, like, yelling about it at Tom Tom, she literally said, well, I already had it written about Raquel, and then we needed more content for the second verse, so we just added some stuff about Sandoval. So you already had it written and you were ready to go when you got to the studio.
Right. Like I said, don't care because it's Sandoval's feelings that I don't give a fuck about. But
stop lying to us.
Yeah,
we're not stupid.
Yeah. Sheena talks about the house and goes, if it's so messy now that she doesn't want to have people over, it worries me that she's falling back into a dark place. Because Ariana's talked about her mental health issues.
Yeah.
But I'm like, Sheena, this is Sandoval stuff. Like, she's not, it's not a mess in the, like, in the main areas at the very least. One thing if it's like her room or something.
Right.
But like, in the main areas, it's Sandoval stuff. It's like all his stuff, basically. They also, so Ariana has a new confessional look with that black with the, it's kind of like, almost like ripped sort of vibe. It's, and she has like darker makeup. It's really cool. She goes, now that I know I'm for sure going to be moving out of this house, I'm not going to be like unpacking things and putting them away. Cause she gets a lot of like swag boxes, obviously with like,
right.
You know, all that stuff. She's like, I'm just going to receive a box, stack it neatly, and it's going straight into the moving truck.
Yeah. Also, how did... Did you notice that most of the shit around the house is boxes of stuff?
Yeah.
How do you accumulate boxes of stuff in the main living area of your house? Like, just... That wasn't done naturally. I think he had the new assistant help him move shit into the house.
Oh, really?
To make it more messy... To make it more uncomfortable for Ariana because she finally won in, fine, we're going to sell the house.
Honestly, I wouldn't put it past them. Like, everything, it's like, yeah, that makes sense. That checks out. Like,
I don't, because it happened overnight where he's not getting brand deals. He's not getting a shit ton of things because the mess, quote unquote mess, that was like some clothes here and there was very little. Most of that mess stuff was boxes lying in the hallways.
Yeah.
That stuff was pulled out of storage. I guarantee fucking to you. I know I have no evidence of this other than look at Tom Sandoval.
Sure.
That's my evidence.
Speaking of Tom Sandoval, we then
have to keep talking about
this. I'm so happy to talk about this scene. So happy to talk about it. They go to his sound check for Tom Sandoval and the most extras. The way I cannot believe they fucking, I love, at least they're being honest about this in the edit. Like, they're showing him like doing the sound check and his like backup singer, Maddie or whatever, he's trying to hit a note. And she literally recoils like, oh God, that's wrong.
The whole thing was wrong. It's always wrong.
Yeah. And they've got, he's got like he like does this cinematic shot where he emerges from like the smoke or something like that. James is watching and just like, okay. All right.
So before we get to this discussion with him and James, the shirt.
Yes. You know, cause Sandoval really is, you know, he's going through a lot right now, guys. He's got, he's in a mental health crisis. He's, you know, going into a deep, deep depression where he's just like folding in on himself and it's just like a shell. And, you know, he just can't get enjoyment out of anything. I will note that he is doing this sound check in a dipped out t-shirt.
You know how, you know, Rachel allegedly dipped out when she was supposed to be going home, but didn't. No, it wasn't Rachel. It was Tom dipped out.
No, it was Schwartz. Rachel. No, it was Rachel dipped out.
Okay. Yeah. Rachel dipped out, but turned out it wasn't to go home. It was to go upstairs.
Yeah. And that was dipping out. Keep in mind, like having merchandise about the affair that you caused, that you treated your partner of 9 years like shit, like because of that you cheated on. That in general is just like not great. To make merchandise over a phrase that you said to cover up the specific instance of you cheating on your 9-year girlfriend when she was out of the house to go to her grandmother's funeral and you had sex with your mistress in said house. That is unbelievably disgusting.
And it's especially disgusting when later in the episode, he yells at Sheena for profiting off of his misery.
Mm-hmm.
I was livid. livid when he said that. And literally just the day before was wearing that fucking shirt.
Right.
To perform in, not just to wear, but performing on stage with that shirt on.
Yeah.
Actively profiting, not just for the sales of that shirt, but also for, you know, your band and all of that shit off of Ariana's misery.
Right. But that's the thing. He doesn't see Ariana as a person.
No,
he doesn't view that Ariana exists. What misery? Does she have misery in terms of me, you know, ruining her life and having this, you know, affair with her best friend when I was in a relationship with her for 9 years? Misery? What's her misery? I'm the miserable one. That's his logic. That's the logic in his head that can justify him wearing that in his mind. And that is why no one fucking likes him.
I can't. I'm like, oh, what was the, you said something on the way over here about how somebody had, renamed his band.
Oh, Tom Scumdable and the paid extras. That was from Ether Opal on TikTok, who is an amazing. They're the creator that does like the dolls. Like they recreate Bravo scenes, but with dolls. It's amazing. It's a great TikTok. Go follow them. They make me laugh constantly.
Oh, jeez.
So James then pulls Sandoval over to talk after the set. I love James. This scene was fucking phenomenal. This was literally, James is like, I am making up for the fans who are going to hate this season because of how fucking, like, you know, giving it is to Sandoval. I am going to give the people everything they want with this scene.
I have loved James this season.
But it builds. It starts out normal. Sandoval goes, throughout this whole process, like, I've really tried to look out for Raquel, and I'm realizing now I cared for her way more than she fucking cared for me, dude. James goes, you really think that? And Sandoval goes, I fucking know it. I mean, dude, I'm listening to the shit that she coming out of her mouth, and I'm like, it's fucking bullshit. It's so goddamn disrespectful. She used me and now has thrown me away.
Oh, what?
There's so much wrong with that. So one, saying it's goddamn disrespectful, disrespect, like that she owes you respect, that there's like are you saying there's like a hierarchy? Is that what you're saying? Disrespectful?
Right, because she's below you because she's a woman or because she hasn't been on the show as long? Probably because she's a woman.
Yeah. She used me and now has thrown me. What has she used you for?
What has she gained?
At all. She's not on the show anymore that she, you know, was on for 5 seasons.
Not only is she not on the show anymore, but she also...
She's racked up medical bills.
Racked up medical bills and has had a sharp decline in public opinion. So now she's got to try to find another career.
Yeah.
With public opinion against her. Because you manipulated her into a toxic affair.
Yeah. Keep in mind, he says here, as he said with Lisa at Tom, he keeps saying about the podcast, it's fucking bullshit. He never says what is bullshit. Not on the after show, by the way. He never refutes anything that she said.
Because he can't.
He never says this time statement she's lying about. This thing he doesn't do. It's just the whole thing is bullshit. I'm going to need more specifics, dude.
Yeah.
Like, seriously. Like, God, I fucking hate him. And also, okay. Oh, and I was going to add. Also, all this whole, like, she used me. Fucking, you know, she, you know, it's disrespect. You initiated. You are the one that, by all accounts. Well, by Rachel's account, but that's the main account of, like, what happened on the night you came back from the Abbey and Ariana was sleeping in her bed. You initiated. You convinced her to go to the pool. You guys were in the fucking pool listening to music. And at one point, you then spun her around and kissed her. You initiated. She used me. She didn't fucking want this. Like, James then goes, I just want this in my past. Like, after the breakup, I went and lived my own life. It just seems like all of this just comes to haunt me. I don't want to sit and talk shit about Raquel. I'm done with the talking shit. I'm done. Which I was like, oh, like that's actually growth from James, right? Like,
yeah.
And I really do feel that. Like, it's not just him saying it in this moment. He really hasn't mentioned, you can say he hasn't mentioned the stuff about Rachel. He hasn't responded to Rachel's stuff mainly because, like, you could say the accusations are really bad, like, in the stuff she's accusing him of. But, like, he hasn't, like, gone, you know, nasty with her recently. Like, he had, like, in the way he used to, right?
Right.
Like, he's kind of, like, I'm going to be the bigger person, and it's all going to bear out in the end because I know I'm the position I'm on, which is much better than Sandoval now just spending this time discrediting her.
Right.
Every chance he can get, by the way.
Yeah. James has just shown so much growth, and I don't know. Is he a perfect person? No, none of us are. I think he's definitely done some fucked up shit in the past. Probably some that we aren't even necessarily privy to all the details of, especially when it comes to Kristen.
Yeah.
But like, holy shit, this is not the same person who came on in season 3, yeah. I think.
It doesn't even seem like the same person from a year ago.
No.
So I just... Like, I really think he has to be taking on something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Sandoval goes, look, I didn't even get any sort of, like, closure. And James goes, fuck closure. She's working on herself.
Yeah.
Which is what you should care about. Sandoval then goes, yeah, she's working on herself when she broke up with you. So, like, he's had a couple moments where he's like, James, dig on her with me, right?
Right.
Like, shit on her. This is our moment to shit on her. And James is not biting. And he's being like, fuck the closer. She's bettering herself. Now, Sandoval's pissed.
Yeah.
So now he tries to manipulate James and tries to fuck with him. He goes, yeah, she was working on herself when she broke up with you. She was selfish during that time. She was selfish with getting involved with me. Again, you initiated. She said back in the day when she asked you to stop drinking, she did it with a thought that you wouldn't be able to do it. What is the fucking point of him saying that to James?
To piss him off.
To piss him off generally is it, like, that alone is like just fucking nasty and narcissistic and gross. But also the added element of like James is seemingly sober right now.
Right.
Why to say that to a sober person? Hey, that girl that you were with, you know, all that time ago who wanted you to get sober, she was convinced that you wouldn't be able to do it. That manipulative ass shit could literally send someone to drink again. If it was a different scenario.
Yeah. If James didn't have the support he has with Allie, it honestly might have.
Yeah. And it's like, He does this all the time. This is like he doesn't give a fuck about people's mental health. Like when he like talks about people's ideations, the way he's doing this with James, it's disgusting.
Absolutely fucking disgusting.
But this is where as soon as he does this, James doesn't bite. He like catches it and is like throws it back in his face. Sandoval going, she did it with the thought that you wouldn't be able to do it. James goes, well, she also said on the podcast that she was never in love with you. And Sandoval goes, oh, I know. And then he goes, and that, you know, she got with you because she wasn't quite over me. So, you know, and then he pats Sandoval on the shoulder and goes, wouldn't you put too much thought into that one, buddy. That was such a power move. Oh, it's so good. And then James just goes, I don't believe you guys were ever in love. I think it was a fuck fest for 6 months. And then Sandoval goes, dude, we would sit there for 5 hours. And then James goes, you would get horny, extra horny, because you weren't getting it from Ariana. So you'd go downstairs to get your weenie sucked by Raquel. He goes, you have no idea what you're talking about. I would go over to her house and we'd spend like 5-6 hours together. If we had sex, it would be for like a little bit.
That sounds like a you problem.
Literally, I was like, so... I mean, what did they find out last year that his sperm, that the morphology of his sperm is off? I mean, like, maybe it's a lot of things that are off.
There's definitely some off with him.
Yeah. If we had with sex, it would be for like a little bit. We talked the whole time. And then James goes, you're a liar though, Tom. You're a liar. And Samuel goes, I'm not. James goes, well, those are the facts, Tom. And Sandoval goes, it's not the facts. It's your opinion, which are not facts. And James goes, well, no, it's her opinion, too. She said it.
So
he like checks like one after the other after the other. Like, ooh, James was so on fire here. James goes, I mean, what you and Ariana had was true love. And Sandoval goes, you don't know, bro. James goes, bro, you looked me dead in the eye for years talking about how much you fucking love that girl. And Sandoval goes, I did love her.
So he does know.
What? He made Sandoval look so bad here. James goes, it's like you forget, bro. Like tapping on his head. It's crazy. Sandoval goes, shut up. James then goes, rewrite history in your mind and have fun with your fucking band. I'm not opening for you at the fucking El Rey because I moved on to bigger and better things. This is a joke to me. I gotta go. Bye.
Fast forward to present day where he's playing at fucking Coachella.
Yeah, like Sandoval is doing what? Outside of not even Erie, Pennsylvania.
It's literally in like bumfuck Pennsylvania.
Yeah. James in his confessional goes, he just can't get let go of the past, can he? I'm just waiting for him to get a clue. Or maybe he never will. I can see it now. He's like 75, still in the rock and roll bar in Sunset, doing karaoke. And then it's like, boom, dick flute comes out of the pocket. I used to play this on national television.
James ate him the fuck up.
Yeah. And then Sandoval goes, as James is leaving, goes, go push some buttons on your laptop. And James goes, what was that? Sandoval goes, you heard me. And James walks up to him and goes, say it to my face, bro. Sandoval goes, go push some buttons on your fucking laptop. And James goes, I will. Thanks, Sandoval. And walks off. I love the way, like, it was the same as the reunion. The way that James, like, just checks him, like, say it to my fucking face, and confronts him. And, like, it's amazing. And like you said, yeah, he's pushing some buttons on his laptop in fucking Coachella in front of Taylor fucking Swift, who's like enamored by his like remix of like her song. And what are you doing? Nothing.
Nothing.
He like we then go to Lala's sperm donor party at Villa Rosa. Everyone starts arriving. Katie and Allie sit together at one point, and Allie tells Katie, I just wanted to check in on you and Lala, you know, because I missed the girls' night the other night because it sounded heated. I just heard at paintball, like, it sounded like you were a little, like, miserable and getting upset about a lot of things easily. And Katie goes, that was miserable? Who said that? And Allie goes, Lala? Like, Allie was like, I was like, oh, shit.
You read it as that. I read it as, I'm going to carry this boat over here.
Sure.
And I'm going to be a little bit messy, but I also actually care about these people.
Yeah. Katie goes, huh. Well, I'm definitely not miserable or getting upset about things easily. I'm just tired of the same dumb shit getting brought up to me over and over again.
Period.
Which, like, yes, she's miserable when you're doing terrible things to her. That I said this last week. It's like, that's the fucking hang up, guys. Like, anyways, Lala will confront this later and I'm going to have a rant. I'll just say that.
Oh boy.
Schwartz then goes to visit Sandoval at the house. And Sandoval depressed, and now he's in like weird, like, again, like weird, like Joaquin Phoenix Joker mode or something, like where he's just like so, like, you know, I don't know what it is. He's playing with this like scope, like this like pirate scope or something like that. Like, it's like some steampunk bullshit. He's weird. I'm sorry. He says to Schwartz, got my leg knife, because remember they went shopping and like what, like, he doesn't need knives. He goes, I think I'm going to start to work on cutting Maya in half. Ariana gets one, I get one, we split everything. Hey, maybe when you were accused a couple episodes of being a attempted dog murderer, maybe don't make jokes like that.
I would like to point out something. I don't, as an ex-Christian.
Oh, yes, you brought this up.
As an ex-Christian, I don't like to reference the Bible too often. However, this reminded me of the story of the judgment of Solomon,
mm-hmm.
Where two women, this is in 1 Kings, where two women come to King Solomon with two young babies, one is alive, one is dead, both claim that the living child was their own and that the other woman was only pretending to be the mother of that surviving infant.
Right.
So after a while, Solomon says, okay, fine. We'll cut the surviving baby in half and you can both have one half of the baby. And that way we just split this evenly. And one woman says, that's perfectly fair to me. Sounds simple. And the other one goes, no, I would rather you keep my baby than to cut my baby in half. And Solomon says, yeah, you're clearly the mother because you would rather live with your pain of losing your child than to cause it harm. He has nothing to do with Maya's ownership.
Nothing.
This like cute little quip that he thought he made, right, proves he has absolutely no fucking care for Maya's well-being.
Yeah. I'm sure Sandoval is listening to this podcast right now and just be like, dude, look at this. They compare me to Jesus. Isn't that cool? You just know it.
Jesus isn't even in this part of the Bible.
Again, that doesn't mean Sandoval wouldn't be saying that.
I know. I'm just adding a disclaimer. This is in the whole other half of the Bible.
But like, no, you're totally right. Like,
why would you even fucking joke about that? That's not funny.
Yeah, it really isn't.
It's not fucking funny. And that's her fucking child. And you're going to act like that? Really? Fuck you, piece of shit.
Sandoval then goes, I think I'm just going to delay responding to her email so I can hang out with Maya longer. Like, again, being an asshole. Again, putting Maya over Ariana, like, as, like, a dangling toy. And also a stupid move because but with you not responding to that email, like, you're going to court, motherfucker.
Exactly. That's right. That explains why she took this to court.
Yeah.
And, like, actually made him do this because he literally decided he was just going to not respond.
Yeah.
Fucking piece of shit.
Sandoval then tells Schwartz, I do have a proposition. I would consider, and Schwartz goes, no, because he already knows. He goes, I would consider keeping the house if I had a roommate. Schwartz goes, dude, the optics of that are horrible. And Sandoval goes, no, they're not. Like, yes, there are fucking terrible. Like, again,
you know it's gotten bad for Sandoval when even Schwartz is going, I don't want to live with your ass anymore. Like, yeah. I did that for years. I don't want anything to do with that shit.
Yeah. Schwartz goes, let's humor this hypothetically. What would be my rent? And Sandoval goes, six. And Schwartz goes, dude. Sandoval goes, you pay $4,500 a month. Schwartz, like, the fact that he's, like, Sandoval is so terrible with money. Utterly terrible with money. To be like, you pay $4,500 a month. What's $6,000? $1,500 more?
The difference in those rent prices is literally more than we pay for rent.
Yeah.
And I just, it's wild. How fucking dumb are you with numbers? I don't get it.
Schwartz goes, I cannot in good conscience put $6,000 into something that I'm not going to get a return on. I'm not building equity in here. Like, why would I, like, that's, like, why? So he can be with, like, so I can room with Sandoval?
Ew.
That's the only benefit, and that's not a benefit.
It's not, honestly.
And then Sandoval goes, basically, we would, like, get a loan. And I'm like, oh my God, you're going to take out another fucking loan?
Yeah.
Like, he's terrible with money. Utterly terrible. Thank God Ariana got the fuck out of there.
Yeah.
Like, he would bankrupt her ass. And I swear to God, like he would rather keep this fucking home to where he would have to, quote-unquote, buy Ariana out, raise his interest rates, and then just have Schwartz pay him more money to seemingly cover that. What the fuck?
The thing is he is... This is not about, I mean, I know we just said this is because he's dumb with money. It's not because he's dumb with money. It's because he's smart with narcissism.
Yeah.
What he is doing is wrapping someone up in a contractual financial commitment that is so difficult to get out of that they would rather just stay with him because he cannot stomach the idea of being alone, because that is what a fucking narcissist is.
Yeah.
That is why he's dragging his feet on selling the house. That is why he was proposing all these stupid things because he was trying to irritate Ariana into just giving up and staying.
Yeah.
And now he's trying to rope Schwartz right back into that shit. He's going, well, if you get into this loan with me, you have to stay here. Like, your name's on the loan, and we see how difficult it is to get out of that because Ariana's doing it right now. You don't want to be Ariana, do you? No, just move back in.
Stupid.
It's literally narcissism 101. Cut people's resources out. Cut them off from their friends. Make them dependent on you.
Yeah.
This is what they do. This is what we have seen him do for years.
Ugh. Schwartz goes, are the girls at the sperm donor party? And Sandoval goes, yeah, they're at the jizz fest. I hope Lala watches that. And if Lala has a fucking backbone, she will drag his fucking ass. Because Lala is speaking this whole episode how sentimental this is for her and how much it means to her. Rightfully so. Him talking about it like that, I really hope that Lala checks him to his fucking face if Lala actually has some form of a fucking backbone this season.
She won't.
We'll see. I'll hold out hope. Lala thanks all of them for coming, and like she talks about how important it is to her and stuff like that. They then play pin the sperm on the vagina. It's like, Jesus Christ. They're going through all the donors and stuff like that with their profiles and trying to find the perfect match. Sheena, so, oh my God, his favorite song is Grown Ocean, and his favorite animal is a lion. We're done here. It's like, I was confused where, like, because Ariana says at one point, like, that they didn't seem as thorough. I also was confused about, like, it was kind of like, I like cooking, and I want to know more about your, like medical history and, like, sort of, like, you know, that kind of stuff more than, like...
Sure, but, like, personality stuff is passed down, too.
Maybe.
And interests and things like that. Like, if your parent is good at XYZ, you are likely to be good at XYZ. Some of those things are genetic.
Right.
Like, some of it is, like, sure, some of it can be taught, but they have seen where, like, a child's handwriting after they've become an adult matches the handwriting of their parent that gave them up for adoption that they never met. You know, like some of their, you know, speech patterns will still match. Some of the way that they pronounce certain things will still match. So a lot of that stuff is genetic. And so knowing about that is kind of useful because you want your interests to align with your child.
Yeah.
So that you can then relate to them on that.
That's probably true. They decide on the donor number one and they're all excited and stuff like that. Ariana, you could also tell, was so invested. Like, she was genuinely happy for Lala the entire time of this.
But she doesn't support Lala.
No, never.
No.
Neither does Katie.
No, neither of them support, like, even though they're here and, like, actively rejoicing and no, they don't support her.
No.
We really have to drive that home.
The next day, Allie is with James at the house, and she's telling James about the party and all that stuff. I love that Allie was like, I was like, do they have, like, their birth charts? And they're like, well, we can't give out, like, their locations of, like, where they were born and stuff like that.
I don't need you to tell me that. You run their birth chart. Give me their birth chart. That's all I need. I don't need to figure out where they were born.
She says, they're confessional. Honestly, all I care about is let me see your GPA in high school and your sun sign.
Honestly.
So then they're talking on the couch.
Honestly, though, sun sign is, like, such a small part of really, like, the overall... Never mind. We're not going to get it. This is not an astrology podcast.
Yeah. We'll maybe get Allie on to talk about it. Allie talks about how Lisa was like, when are you going to have babies? And I was like, I'm not in a rush. You know, I do see myself having them one day, but I'm not, like, ready. James goes, so I definitely do see babies in our future, you know? And Allie goes... Yeah, I don't know. Like, I just never really felt called to. Like, most of my friends are like, been put on this earth to be a mom, and I've never felt that. I mean, I felt that with, like, cats and dogs. Like, I don't think about marriage. Like, I don't have a Pinterest board with, like, my rings picked out, you know? And so, like, it's kind of an awkward conversation. And James gets a little, like, emotional and, like, gets teared up about things. He talks about, like, you know, these are things that I really want and think that I worked my whole life for. I see that future with you, and it scares me when you're like, you know, oh, I'm not ready. And it's like, okay, well, we've been together for a year and a half, and it's like, I don't want to do what I did with Raquel, be with someone for 5 years and come to find out that it was all like fucking bullshit. And I think he's a little like, and he's really he's very emotionally crying. I think I've said this in the past about James. I think what it is with James is that I think his emotions are always very genuine, but yeah. I don't always think he realizes what the emotions are about.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Because there's a lot going on here that I think actually has nothing to do with wanting a kid.
Yes.
Or wanting to be married. I think he had a reputation of being so undependable and like messy and like this quote
and, like,
unquote
destructive.
Destructive and failure of a person, and has felt that for so long that he wants to prove to himself and the world that he is stable and he is reliable and he is this good person. And yeah. In his brain, what that looks like is married, 2.5 kids, and a picket fence.
Right.
Because that's what we've been told by society that the measure of success is, especially as a man. I think he's also been traumatized by Rachel because she... I don't want to say led him on, right? Because they were in a committed relationship for so long. But I think she was out of it long before she told him about it.
Right.
And he, like, put all of this effort into a really thought out and heartfelt proposal and was really trying to become a better person for her. You don't ever want to become a better person for someone else, right? You want to do it for yourself. But he was still trying, and he was putting so much effort into this, and then turned around and she wasn't there anymore.
Yeah. And I think she had valid reasons as to
of course, but it was almost as if the choice to split up was taken away from him.
Yeah.
Like, he didn't get to have a say in that.
Well, and I get, what I get most of it is that, like we were mentioning before, I do, like, from what we see on the television show, don't get me wrong, I think, like we said, I think he has been making improvements.
Yeah.
In terms of his drinking, the way he talks to, I really have not seen an explosive James Kennedy moment that's, like, the real dangerous ones that, like, we used to see all the fucking time. And that, again, like, we even saw last fucking season.
Yeah.
Like, even when he was getting into it with Ariana and the trip, right, about the...
Right.
Like, those moments aren't happening anymore, and I think it's because of work that he has put in. And I feel like his, like, tears were coming from a place of, like, is Allie telling me this, that
right.
she's not ready because she's genuinely not ready, or is she scared to have kids with me?
Right.
And that's like a, and I get it. Like, I can, if you watch James Kennedy from like a long time, like I would be like, oh God, James Kennedy is a dad. Like, I don't think that's a great idea, but I do acknowledge that he's improving himself, and I also believe that somebody can get to a place that even if they were abusive in their past, even if they were, an alcoholic or a drug user or like someone who has had destructive tendencies, I think you can fix yourself. I really do think that's possible.
Well, and also just look at like the way that he would speak about the women on this show.
Yeah.
A few years ago, as opposed to how he has stood 10 toes down for Ariana this season.
And Katie.
And has stood by their sides and has never made a big deal about it, right? Has never acted like he deserved any sort of recognition for it.
No.
Has never acted like they owed him anything for it. He has just showed up and said, this is how we treat women.
Yeah.
Period. End of story. And that is just not the man he was a few years ago.
Yeah.
And that to me shows real growth, because he doesn't need a reward.
It doesn't feel performative. It doesn't feel like doing it. It feels genuine to me. It genuinely does.
Right.
And that's how it comes across.
And even when he has, in like the after show and whatnot, had problems with Lala and argued with her in the after show, it's never been disrespectful.
No.
And it has always been based in, this is what we really know. And I feel like you were assigning things that are not actively true.
If anything, Lala's been more of a dick to James.
Honestly.
And honestly, he's taken it in a way that...
Yeah. And he's never come back at her and hit below the belt. He would have done that not that long ago.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I just really feel like that has to be noted. Because when we're talking about men growing on this show, like I saw the other day, when we were watching this episode, really saw a parallel between James's growth on the show and Tom Sandoval's refusal to grow on the show.
It's so stark.
It really is. Cause like seeing who, like if we start like with Sandoval and Kristen's relationship and we start with James, and I won't even start with Kristen because even though that was his first relationship on the show, it wasn't long lasting.
Yeah.
It was just kind of a rebound from Tom for Kristen. So we start with Rachel, right? They started kind of at a very similar echo of each other of these are almost the same person 10 years apart.
Yeah.
And then their relationships were very similar, right? We see the way that James treated Rachel at the beginning. We see the way that Tom treated Kristen. Like, there's a lot of parallels there. And then we move into the next relationship of Allie and Ariana, right? And we see also more lasting of a relationship here. Like, there's more seriousness here. But still, James is grown now. He's matured past who he was in his last relationship. Tom is the same.
Yeah. If not worse.
And we see what is so disappointing with Tom Sandoval is because we have James as an example of who Sandoval could have been if he decided to grow the fuck up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because that's what James is. And James is 10 years younger than him, and he is 20 years more mature. He is 20 years more wise than Sandoval is. He has grown to respect women in a way that Sandoval has not even
thought of. Can't even get to the base of.
And all he does is perform respectability.
Right.
And it's just... The parallel just really kind of was stark to me.
Yeah. Allie tells James, I'm dating you because I love you and I do see a future with you and I wouldn't be in it if I'm not. So, yeah, I think it was a good end. Tom's first brunch happens. Again, not the restaurant. James does apologize to Sandoval because he's DJing for the set. He's like, just want to say I'm sorry. And Sandoval goes, likewise. Like, because James is just like, I have better things to do than worry about, like, Sandoval, you know.
Whatever. Yeah.
Again, growing a little bit. Schwartz is there. Lala says that he looks like Dad Bod Ken, which Jesus Christ. Okay. So then the ladies all go down to sit to eat. Lala goes, hey, so Allie and Katie, what were you two discussing yesterday at the donor party? I didn't want to like interrupt the conversation. Katie then goes, so she mentioned at paintball that you said that it just seemed like I'm miserable and getting angry at everything. And Sheena goes, she did not say that. Sheena,
Lala had this look on her face that was exactly like Rena when she was asked if she said that Kim was on the verge of death.
Yeah.
She was I don't remember saying that.
Lala goes, did she say that verbatim that I said that she was miserable? Like, asked Allie. And Allie goes, I was trying to remember the words. And Lala goes, I never said miserable. Never said miserable.
Okay, who gives a shit? You said basically miserable.
She said, she says, it's very clear that my friend is unhappy. Over and over again. It's the same fucking thing.
Literally the definition of miserable is extremely unhappy.
Also, it makes it even fucking worse that... Remember that Instagram post that fucking Lala made on her story recently about Katie being... She calls Katie miserable in the post.
Well, and people have...
The one where she also makes the comment about Terry.
Yeah.
It's like, that's an extra bit of fucked up because of this conversation.
Yeah.
Like, Lala, I swear. Well,
and what I don't like about this conversation is that Lala, like, turns it back on Kristen, turns it back on Katie. Like, oh, Katie is the problem.
Katie, or Lala gaslights the fuck out of Katie in this conversation.
So fucking angry.
Lala goes, I was going to have a conversation with you because I feel like you might not be in a happy place right now. And Katie goes, you're wrong. Like, I am not in a, I'm in a happy place. Like, very, like, straightforward. So as soon as, like, that she tries to broach that, Katie's like, that's not correct. Lala goes, I want to know I don't trigger you because when you said at girls' night, you don't feel like I'm loyal or consistent. And Katie goes, I feel like your softness is going to people who are not necessarily the most deserving people. I feel like you're more defensive with me lately. Katie's like nailing her on these, like,
yeah,
like basically being like, this is what I'm saying. This is what I mean. You're not being soft to me, but claiming softness as like a new trend for you. And you're being
as an excuse, really, to just be nice to assholes.
Right. Lala then goes, I feel because, you know, we were inseparable last year and friends go through things. Life changes. You and Ariana are like very close now. I don't really know where my place is. If you, Katie has like a confused look on her face when like Lala's saying this. And also I love Ariana reaching out her hand to Lala being like, babe, as she says that. But that I'm like, wait, what, Lala? That's not what this is about.
But the thing is that you,
you made that up.
Yes. And this look from Katie really felt like a gut punch to me because it's not just confusion. It's also hurt.
Yeah.
And I haven't seen that on her face since last season when her and Schwartz were in that restaurant in Mexico.
Yeah, she starts crying here, like, as well. And it's like,
it, because I feel like she can feel what's happening. She can feel the gaslighting. She can feel how it's being turned on her.
Yeah, maybe.
And she feels like she's back in that toxic relationship. Well, again.
And I also notice it's just like, what is the whole, like, your friend, you're closer to Ariana thing. I feel like a distance in our friendship comes out of, like, again, comes out of fucking nowhere. And it's like, oh, wait, this is the same thing she said to Ariana the first episode of this season. And I'm starting to think that it's like a crutch she uses.
Yeah.
Of just like, instead of actually engaging in merits of arguments, just being like, I feel like you're not close to me anymore. And like, and it like puts an onus on the person that they can't like get out of.
Well, and it's weird because Lala seems to think that people can only have one friend at a time. Because Katie's sitting here going, I have literally the next thing that she says is, I have nothing else going on in my life.
Well, because Lala goes, and I get it, I have a kid. And then Katie goes, but I don't, I'm not like, oh, you're going to this person, so I don't know where my place is. I don't have a person, a boyfriend, a kid. I have all the time in the world. So don't feel like I don't have time for you. That makes me feel sad.
I haven't pushed you out. You have pushed me out.
Yeah. Sheena says, one of the things that I've learned in getting closer with Lala is that I know she needs in a friendship is just someone checking in on her more. And Katie goes, I do all the time. I text her.
And what I need more out of my friendship with you, Sheena, is for you to shut the hell up.
Yeah, and also notice Sheena using the same, but also Sheena using the same fucking thing she's using against Ariana. Like, Ariana doesn't text me enough. She, like, I'm finding out things. Like, it's the same playbook, and I'm like, I don't think that's accurate.
But what really got me here is this tone that both Lala and Sheena are using, like this, we really care about you and we're worried about you. And like, we're just kind of wanted to do this like little intervention thing because we know that you're in the wrong.
It's condescending.
If you try to tell me that I'm wrong in my assessment, I'm going to blame it on your mental health.
Yeah.
I feel like it's that condescending being talked down to. That is what triggered Katie in this moment to start crying because she has been talked that way by Schwartz all these years.
Well, because they always make it about Katie's mental health and Katie's ego and Katie's like hatred for people. And it's like, no, actually engage. Hey, I went to lunch with Joe and you're upset about that. Tell me why it upsets you so much.
Right.
And engage it and get to the root of it. That's the normal, like, progressive, like, in touch with, like, therapy and all that stuff thing to do. Not to just blame her mental health and her being miserable.
Yeah.
She's hurt. Like, anyone who has rewatched these like 10 past seasons can see that Katie's been hurt over and over again. And the negative things that she does do is in response to hurt.
Right. That's always how it's been.
Finally, someone engaged the fucking hurt. Like, I don't get it. Lala goes, everything you're saying is correct. I love you for exactly the person you are. All I'm looking for is I want us to show up for each other. I hated this. Actually hated this.
Yeah, I actually would like y'all to show up for each other because she keeps showing up for you and you haven't shown up for her once, Lala.
Yeah, exactly. Sandoval and Schwartz are at the other side of the restaurant. And Sandoval's like, I also have a guy who has like a new house that maybe we can talk about moving into. And you can tell Schwartz is just like, I'm not moving in with you. I'm not doing it.
No.
He's going to move in with him, I bet.
I hope he doesn't for Schwartz's sake.
Sure.
Because I feel like if Schwartz was ever going to break away from Sandoval, it's here. And I feel like he's been trying to do that in the latter part of this season.
Yeah. Sandoval goes, after living with Ariana, who's pretty much like an enemy, like being able to coexist in that house, I realized like Sheena then starts to walk up and he goes, oh, Sheena's coming, so be quiet. What was that? Dude, you know you're on camera and mic still, right?
Yeah, it was so fucking performative.
He's literally like, oh, I can't talk about Ariana because I'm good Sandoval around Sheena. Like,
so fucking stupid.
Sheena goes, how are you? You know, last 3 days, it was something new, always something new coming out. And Sandoval goes, you know, I feel betrayed and hurt. Like, I'm not going to get any closure. I'm not going to get, like, an email. And Sheena then goes, none of us are getting any closure. So I wrote a song about it. And then the way Sandoval goes, like, he darts his eyes over to her in, like, the most, like
that wasn't following the script, Sheena.
Well, like, he's going to murder her. I'm sorry. He can be like, she thinks I'm a serial killer all the time. Then stop looking like you're about to slit people's throats.
Uh-huh.
Sheena goes, there's a cut. Sandoval goes, like a song about our stuff. And Sheena goes, there's a couple specific lines. He's like, about the affair. Sheena goes, open to interpretation. She goes, there's a line about, from a Ferrari to a Jetta, thought that you knew better. You went from something good to something not, and you could do better. I love that she cited that as the line, as the like, well, it's like open to interpret. She doesn't cite the worst line in the song, which is the narcissistic psycho cut you out like lipo. It's like,
I would feel like that's maybe the more egregious line.
And
but
the more
sure.
specific. Like this, because Schwartz goes, that could be anybody. Like, with the thing. But then he says it's confessional. I mean, it's open to interpretation aside from the fact that Rachel used to literally drive a Jetta. I was like, oh, when you put it like that, Schwartz. Yeah, you're right. Okay. Didn't know that. Good to know. Sheena goes, you're not going to be able to hate it. Like, oh, like. So Sandoval goes, you'd feel differently if you went through what I went through. And I was writing a song about you, but that's okay. And then like storms off to like, and gets his like purse or whatever to like, like being all performatively mad. Sheena's like, I thought you guys already listened to it. Shut up, Sheena. You know, that wasn't the case. Sandoval in his confessional goes, I feel like Sheena and I came a long way and we're starting to become friends again. And then it's like, go profit off of my pain. Like what you were saying before, you have no place to fucking talk about profiting off of pain.
Also, I wouldn't necessarily put it past Sandoval to have already listened to this song and then performatively had this reaction anyway.
Oh, he's listening to everything. Anything
actively.
Yeah.
It's not like he's doing anything else like cleaning his fucking house.
Yeah. He walks by them again out the door and goes, keep profiting off my misery. Keep cashing in on my misery. Sucks. He sucks so bad.
He's a fucking toddler.
Oh my God. That's Vanderpump Rules for this week. Again, fuck Sandoval and God bless James Kennedy. That's my assessment. We're going to take a quick commercial break. And then when we come back, we're talking the newest episode of The Valley. Don't go anywhere.
Well, hello, friends. I'm your pal in the mainstream media.
And I'm the Riz.
And, you know, Riz, it takes years of strenuous, dedicated training before you're worthy to step inside a professional wrestling ring. But it takes even more time to develop complex, highly astute opinions about professional wrestling. Am I right?
That is correct. Yes. And you know where we can find that?
Yes.
On the Wrestling Mayhem.
That's right.
I'm Eamon.
I'm Merlin.
And if you're anything like us, you live your life out loud.
And when it comes to issues of discrimination, inequity, and outright bigotry, we use every platform we have to speak out against systems of oppression that perpetrate violence against marginalized groups.
That's why we are so proud to wear designs from the Survivors Know merch store. Their team has created designs that feature unapologetic, empowering, and survivor-centered messaging that range from mild,
like accountability is love and toxicity is not on the menu,
to a little more spicy,
like one of my favorites, fuck your laws, fuck your system, transformative justice now, which has a cute little happy flower on it.
Each design is available on a variety of items, from t-shirts and hoodies to bags, blankets, magnets, and even stickers. And as more items become available, the options will continue to grow.
100% of the proceeds go back into supporting the amazing work done at Survivors Know to support survivors, workers, and survivor advocates by organizing, challenging the status quo, and creating alternatives to the systems that fail us.
Support Survivors Know by shopping today at survivorsknow.threadless.com.
That's survivorsknow.threadless.com.
Sidekick Media Services. We are your sidekick in business for social media, video production, and more. Find out more at sidekickmediaservices.com.
Welcome back to A Gay and a Zimby. Let's head back to the valley where the cast splits by gender to dish on their spouses, where some piping hot tea gets spilled and some nasty secrets get teased on the valley.
The valley for this week. Oh, man. This is as on our last episode when we talked about Summer House Martha's Vineyard and how like sort of like light and airy even like the dramatic moments are. These are not. There are a couple times where it's like, oh, there's another bomb. Oh, there's another moment that makes me uncomfortable.
But I still somehow don't feel like heavy and weighed down and stressed out by this.
No.
It's still messy. And I'm like, okay, I'm here for it. I'm not invested. We're good.
Yeah, it's just like, wow, you guys are ruining your lives. Great. Awesome.
I think it's also because we already know that Jesse and Michelle are broken up. We already know that Jax and Brittany are broken up. So it's like, we're seeing these fractures happen after the fact.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's like, well, I'm not stressed about whether they're going to make it. I know they're not. So that is removed. So I could just watch the drama and be removed from it.
Sure. That's fair. So we start the episode. Brittany is getting ready to go on a girls' night that Nia has organized in Malibu because one of the old Miss USAs has like a house.
No, it's the current Miss USA.
That's right. It's the current one. And so she's loaning the house out. Everyone's basically getting ready for it. This was a little moment, but I was so like, again, the moment, like the way Michelle will like throughout this episode being like, yeah, I'm like emotionally like uninvested in Jesse and I'm just like not there for him, but he's a good dad. I don't think he's a good dad.
I promise you he did not know that child's name until he had to be on this show.
Like, Michelle's packing, and then they see, I guess, like, Isabella has, like, a piece of artwork or whatever, and Jesse goes, do we need this thing? I don't think she'll even notice we throw it away. And, like, I was like, ooh.
Look, I get it. Kids make a lot of stupid art, and most of it is really derivative, and it just looks like the other thing that they made 3 seconds ago. I get it. You cannot keep all of it. But I do think you should keep a small collection and curate, you know,
also,
a collection of stuff and rotate it out.
Maybe just don't say it on camera.
Right.
That's the other thing.
That's really fucking shitty.
I just think that's so weird to say on camera. Back at Jackson Brittany's, Jax is out with his leaf blower in the yard, which apparently he has on all the fucking time. He goes, my neighbors fucking hate that thing. Like, because he's always fucking moving shit. This is where we get the, I'm going to say, narrative. Maybe I'm wrong, whatever. Not to, you know, take people's disabilities away from them. Jack says, I'm very OCD. Everything has to have like a place. Everything has to look clean all the time. And when we have people, people over, it all goes to shit because I'm always the one doing the cleaning up every time. Are you OCD?
That's not
Jax, I'm just going to say Sheena made an accusation about Jax recently on a podcast that Did you watch that?
No, I didn't.
Because Sheena's pissed at Jax about the... Well, Jax being like, Vanderpump's fake. The whole show is fake. And then, like, he said something about, like, Sheena, like, going to Coachella instead of, like, raising her daughter or something. Like, some, like, nasty fucking comment. Sheena, like, went off on him on her podcast about how, like, a fucking asshole that he is. And talks about, like, when he's not getting into the pasta, meaning... Because if people who haven't watched like all of Vanderpump Rules, pasta is code for Coke.
Coca-Cola, right?
Yeah.
Stuff in the red bottle.
So it's like, oh, it's like Jax is like antsy all the time and he's very anal retentive and he's like OCD about like things being clean. And are you OCD? Are you?
I think we should clear up. People like to conflate OCD with being particular about cleanliness. And what was the show where that we were reviewing that someone had postpartum OCD?
Postpartum OCD. Oh, that was that Sheena? No, that wasn't Sheena.
Oh yeah, it was Sheena.
Oh yeah.
So again, it's not OCD to like things a particular way. It is about intrusive thoughts. It is about feeling like your world will literally fall apart and there will be a disaster if you don't turn the light switch off and on 10 times before you walk out the door. Or if it is checking the lock on the door 80 times. Or if it is like, it is a particular thing. It is not about wanting things to be neat and clean. That is not what OCD is. And we really need to stop that fucking narrative.
Yeah.
Jax, as far as I know, does not exhibit any symptoms of OCD. What he may have is some anxiety about things being messy. What he may have is this need to put his life in order visually so that he feels like his life is order in actuality.
But that's not OCD.
But that is not what OCD is. OCD is about intrusive thoughts.
Yeah. Maybe he also got that from a vaccine.
I guess.
Ooh. Yeah, oh, we won't get into it. But we read Jax's Instagram comments.
Ugh.
Oh man, we don't.
Him and Jenny McCarthy need to go have lunch sometime.
I don't even want to tell you about the Britney stuff because I don't even think you know about the Britney stuff.
What Britney stuff? Nope, you brought it up. You got to say it now.
Just Twitter search after we're done with this Britney Sandy Hook.
Oh no!
Yeah.
Did she really?
Yeah. This was like
fuck.
It's like in 2012, I think, on Twitter. Yeah.
That was 12 years ago. I am going to extend grace.
That was like three faces ago for Britney.
And two sets of boobs. I'm going to extend grace that she possibly has evolved on that subject.
I would hope so.
She's evolved on other things. I'm just going to leave it there.
Gay people, gay pastors.
Gay people, gay pastors, yeah.
Brittany goes, are you excited for a night out without me? And Jax goes, you should go out with your girlfriends and have fun. Brittany goes, you say that, and then you get mad at me whenever I get home. And Jax goes, I get mad when you come home wasted and come into the room when I'm sleeping. Brittany then, in her confessional, goes, I try to be positive and happy, and a lot of the times he's very just moody and negative. I'm like, well, you're also... Here's my thing. Okay, I'm not... Jax is the worst, okay? We are not going to live in a world where Jax is not the worst. Let me preface that.
Jesse's the worst. Jax is next.
Fine.
But yes.
Yes. But Brittany is not the... I'm going to say controversial statement this episode. Brittany is not the innocent victim in this relationship fully.
No, I think that they both... Here's the thing. There's no victims here.
No.
Both of them knew who each other were when they got
that
married.
Part.
And they both willingly signed up for a life of that. And I understand that Brittany has grown and no longer wants that for herself, but you can't be mad when the man that you married is still the man that you married.
And I'm rooting for Brittany in the separation.
Absolutely.
Don't get me wrong.
When that no longer works for you, you are entitled to walk away from that.
But like, you can't be like, I'm all positivity and happiness, and like, he is moody and negative, when in the conversation you just go, you say that and you get mad at me whenever I go. Like, that is you being negative, right? You know what I mean? Like, I think I love it when she does, like, it's hilarious when she does it on the, like, here and on the podcast and all that. But she does, like, sort of, like, shit on him a lot. Don't get me wrong. He's fucking earned it. But,
yeah,
like, he, I would argue he tries to make things at times more more positive, and she kind of is like, well, you're just so, you know, you're always mean to me.
But how much of that positivity is cleanup? Again, cleaning things to make him feel like things are in order.
Yeah.
As opposed to her speaking truth to a fucked up situation.
Agree. I think she's more true. Everything she says, I think, is truthful. I just think you can't say, like, I'm like the beacon of positivity in this
relationship. That's fair.
That's, yeah. That's really all I'm saying. Brittany goes, I got games. I got tequila. And Jax goes, God forbid you forget the tequila.
Really? You're the paragon of positivity, though.
Please.
Fuck you, Jax.
Yeah. Janet then picks up Brittany to go to this house. Janet's telling him, like, yeah, I looked up the house on Zillow. And then she says to her confessional, of course I look up my friend's houses on Zillow. Anytime I get an address, the first thing I do is put it in Zillow and give myself a little house tour. I know exactly how much everybody has paid for their houses, when they last sold. I know how much they pay on the taxes.
Other people don't do that.
Yo, yeah.
I definitely do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I'm just saying. Dude.
And especially in this group, these are nice houses typically.
Right. It's not really me wanting to be nosy. And I mean, part of it's nosy, but, or like have tea on somebody. But really, it's just about me going, oh, I want to see a new house. I like looking at houses.
Yeah. I like houses. So it's like, it's, yeah, it's, you know, luxury porn.
Honestly, which is what we're all doing here, watching shows like The Valley and Real Housewives. Like, it's luxury porn. Let's not call it what it's not.
Yeah. Nia is welcoming the guests to the house in the at the Malibu rental, which, again, like I said, gorgeous fucking house.
Oh, that fucking view.
Oh, so good. Oh, the view. And as this is happening, when the ladies are getting together, Jax is having the guys over to the house for like a pool day. Brittany and Janet are in the car, and Brittany goes, Jax texted me, don't worry, get drunk, have fun, and be careful. We love you. We all hear it right now, right? We got it in writing. He can't be mad at me tomorrow. Like,
fast forward to the next day where he is, in fact, still mad at her.
Yeah. And Janet's like, oh, that's so funny. But then Brittany's like going to go in depth with it. She goes, the guys get so hypocritical and have double standards sometimes, you know, which is so annoying. You know, the other day I wasn't feeling good and Jax kept making it worse. And then they cut to the flashback of it from like 9 days ago, which I was it was insane to me that Jax was saying this stuff on camera.
Oh, yeah.
Because Brittany was sick. I mean, we'll talk about Brittany's drinking later, which I think is a nuanced thing.
Right.
But like, it's like Brittany's like, I can't help being sick, and Jax goes, you know better, enough's enough. And then they get in the house and he goes, stop fucking drinking, you want to have more kids, act like a mom. Ooh, I don't like that.
I don't like that either, but it doesn't sound like the first time that has been an issue.
Yes, I agree with that.
I wonder if he is actively concerned and has tried to be nice before and it doesn't work.
Do you think, well, that's my thing. I don't know if he's tried to be nice about it. I don't know if he knows how to be nice about it.
I don't either. My question is he being mean to be mean, or is he being mean because he thinks he's being effective in fighting what he is fearful is alcoholism?
I think I think there's a rightful fear. Don't get me wrong. I just think,
because it does actively feel like she's self-medicating with alcohol.
Right. But then, that's
I
also,
won't call her an alcoholic.
No, I don't think I don't think she's an alcoholic. I think she's self-medicating because of their issues. I think it's like a chicken or an egg thing where it's like, you know, which came first. And like, I just think that Jax is, concern would be valid. It's just the framing of the concern is weird to me. We'll get to it.
Well, and because to me, it seems clear that she's self-medicating and also drinking to the point of like almost blacking out.
Yeah.
Which is what he's afraid of. Whereas she turned it around and had this rebuttal of, well, you come home at, you know, you know, and late, and you're drunk too. And he's like, I had a few drinks out with the guys. Like I didn't, and I came home at 11.
Yeah,
you're coming home at 4 a.m.
Brittany's telling this to Janet too in the car. She goes, he goes out way more than I do, and I don't even care. He comes home drunk, but if I do it, it's like the worst thing in the world.
It just seems like she's saying, but you do the same thing when he does it to a much less degree,
right?
I don't want to agree with Jax Taylor.
I know.
But I'm also worried.
Yeah.
Like, I'm, and especially with now they have split up. Like, is she continuing this behavior when she's looking after Cruz on her own?
That would be my question.
I worry, because her mom's not here to help. Do they have, like, I know that they have a somebody that comes in that helps, like a nanny or something. But, like, what is happening here?
Yeah, I agree. There was definite worry on my part, like, you know, in terms of that. Janet in her confessional goes, sometimes I'm concerned with how lit Brittany gets, I'll be honest. But at the same time, she's married to Jax Taylor. Like,
that doesn't make it better.
I know, but she's just saying it would cause anyone to drink. So yeah.
I mean, I get that, but like, come on.
Like a bunch of the ladies are arriving to the house. Kristen arrives and she goes, I'm so sorry, I'm not feeling well. Luke was like, is it morning sickness? Just go pee on the stick. Like, and it's like, oh no, baby, whatever. Kristen says to her confessional, look, it's way too early to even know. I still might be pregnant. They then cut to Michelle's confessional and Michelle goes, please don't have a kid because we don't need more of you around.
Rotted.
That is so mean.
Mean. Dark-sided, evil bullshit.
I didn't.
You just don't say that. I have said that about my brother, but that's my brother.
Sure.
And it was a joke. And it was a joke. I would love for him and his wife to have a child. Yeah. I think he would be a great dad now. But, like, you don't fucking say that for real about someone you're supposed to be friends with, or at least trying to be better friends with.
Yeah. Well, and it's all her. Do you notice her delivery is so weird, particularly in the confessionals? Please don't have a kid because we don't need more of you around. It was very like she like, I think she's just soft-spoken.
Medicated or fed.
Yeah. Something.
Medicated or she was fed that line.
Again, like what Janet was saying about Jax. What Janet was saying about Jax, when you're married to Jesse.
Yeah, because I can see her her medicating as well, more with pills than alcohol for Michelle to me. But I can also see where he's sitting off camera and told her to say that line.
Yeah.
Well, because that sounded like Jesse.
Well,
to
also
me.
We know he finds it hot.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Nia,
he's sitting off camera.
Oh my God. Nia introduces them to
Nothing hot about that man. I'm sorry.
Nia introduces them to Tammy, who's hosting the sip and paint for all of them on the rooftop. And Tammy asks about like their intention, like to basically draw their intentions. So they have them go through their intentions. They go one by one. They get to Kristen's. Kristen goes, my intention for this day specifically is peace because I feel like there's been issues and frustration and lack of trust. I think my biggest thing is if we can all just be a little more empathetic, and everyone looks at her like, what? Like, like Kristen, when you're in the doghouse with this group, that's not the thing to say.
No.
I'm sorry.
Now, if you wanted to say, I am going to try to be a right. lot more empathetic, and I would love to invite the rest of you to join me in that. Fine.
Still not great.
But still, at least at that point, you're owning that you need to make the change, and you invite others to do the same.
Yeah. She goes, which is what I try to lead with. I can't help but feel every single person's feelings. And then Jasmine makes like a smile, like, okay. Like, and then this was amazing. In her confessional, Kristen goes, it is so hard to be an empath. And then they, like the producers zoom out to the walk away, suck a dick. I will strangle that man. Like basically being like every like sort of like
Kristen's greatest hits. It's just, I think I've talked about it on this podcast before about how empaths are not walking around talking about being empaths.
Oh, yeah, almost never.
Because it's a burden.
I don't think Kristen's an empath. I will say, when you hear a lot of people, like, one of the common things is that people say about Kristen, when you're friends with Kristen, she is there for you a lot. Like, she's very active in, like, making sure that you are happy. That is a good quality in a friend. I don't think that necessarily makes you an empath.
Right. I also think that sort of behavior has also, like, allowed her to be taken advantage of by people.
Yeah.
Because she is ride or die for people. And
she gets very caught up in people. And then, like, you know, when it's bad, it's bad.
Which is how Zach has been able to manipulate this whole thing between her and Janet.
Sure. Nia goes, same for me. Peace. You know, I need the light and the positivity. I'm just having so much going on to where I have to be like, oh, and I'll be like, it's fine. I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm totally fine. But, like, I'm not totally fine, so... just the way she delivered it. I'm sorry, like, I it's not funny because it's a very serious topic, but, like, the way she delivered it was just so hilarious to me. But, like, I'm not fine, so... Nia goes, I'm struggling so much more after the twins. Like, I really didn't have any baby blues with Astra. She really makes this, like, baby blues thing a trend.
Right.
And I literally... As much as I really felt for Nia, and genuinely, I thought Nia was, like, very vulnerable this episode.
Yes.
Like, I was like, called it! I called it!
Yeah.
I said it's postpartum depression.
Yeah. Well, and the thing is that I understand the resistance to call it depression.
Yeah.
Because depression, there's two classes of people, right? People that overuse the terms of medical or mental health.
Yeah.
And they apply them in situations where they do not apply in order to garner sympathy and those sorts of things. And then there are people who resist taking on the labels of mental health issues because they're afraid of the stigma. They're also afraid of what that really means and that they then have to address it directly as opposed to just faking it till you make it.
Right.
Which is, I think, it's the camp that she falls into. It's like, she's afraid that if she calls it depression, that she then actually has to take time out of her very busy, very stressful life.
And actually deal with it.
And it's like, I get it. If your plate is full and you just do not have time to carve out space for yourself, especially with the pressure that we put on children, or not children, of mothers of small children.
Yeah.
Like, I get it. Like, she's like, I don't have time to take a piss. I can't go to the fucking psychiatrist.
Yeah.
What?
She says to them, like, every once in a while, I'm like, am I just going to be like this? Like, am I just going to be sad all the time? Which you hear so often, mm-hmm. I feel, with people with that. You were so annoyed. They cut to Thea's confessional, and the producer asks, like, is it, and he was, like, British. He goes, is it, like, a reaction to having children and the family and the love? Is it a completely adverse reaction to that? Like, yes, that's what, like, that way to, like dumb it down. Like,
but also, like, way to, like, blame it on outside forces instead of a chemical imbalance from the hormone influx that a woman goes through during pregnancy and afterwards. Like, the toll that pregnancy takes on a woman's mind and body,
it's honestly,
is,
like,
astronomical.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah, it fucking sucks. She's dealing.
Yeah. And she's like, can I pause for a second? Like, in the confessional, she does it again later in the confessional. I love that. It's again, it's not a funny topic. I just find I'm finding the humor in it that I can.
Yeah. Well, and she is such a character that even when she's reacting to serious things, there's a little quirk to it.
Because she has a very high voice. Like,
yeah.
Like, especially when, like, it's not, like, put on.
It's not whiny. It's just high.
Yeah, she always speaks very, like, airy.
Yes.
Yeah. The guys are in the pool at Jax's house for the pool party. Danny is not there because the air conditioning is out, and he's like, I can't. It's like 89 degrees, and I have the kids, and it's like, I can't, like.
I was confused by that. Wouldn't you then want to come somewhere and get the kids?
It's like, Jax has air conditioning.
in air conditioning and in a pool and be distracted by being with friends.
Well, like, I guess maybe transporting three kids, including two newborn twins, might be like a little difficult, I guess.
Sure, but that has nothing to do with air conditioning.
Yes, but I think, yes.
Maybe he means that he needs to be there for a technician, but that's not what he said.
Sure. I also don't know how extensive it is, like what, because it seems like they have a lot of things for like the babies and stuff like that, and especially when they're newborns.
That's fair.
Because we were also like, get a hotel.
Yeah. But also, I would think when you have that many kids, you have a go bag.
Yeah, you got to.
Gotta have a way to be it, because you have to be able to up and run. Like, what happens if your apartment catches on fire?
Well, you sorry.
You need, like, the things that you absolutely must have, you need to have in a bag and ready to go.
Yeah.
Make it work.
But, yeah, and then talking about how hot it is, the way Jax described, this is such a Jax line again. For people who don't know what the valley is, it's a valley. And I'm like, yeah. Oh, really? Oh, really, buddy?
Next thing you're going to tell me is it's between two mountains.
Yeah. He's like, so the heat sits. And I have heard from people who are in LA, which is like, I would never fucking live in the valley. It's always way hotter than it is in LA and then way colder. It's like, it's a nightmare.
Well, yeah, because what happens is the mountains trap the heat.
Yeah.
And then they trap the cold. And then they trap the heat. And then it's like this cycle of like up and down.
Yeah, it's a mess. Jax asks Jesse, how's the therapy situation going? And Jesse goes, it's a disaster. It's just like, he said this and she said this. And again, I'm assuming these are more therapy sessions because that's not what the first one was, but whatever. As this is happening, Michelle and Brittany are talking in one of the bedrooms. So we're kind of going like back and forth with like Michelle's side and Jesse's side of things. Brittany goes, how are you feeling? And Michelle goes, you know, Jesse goes through his patches of trying, but I don't know if it's 100% sincere, which again, like, this is the problem you've caused, Jesse. Like, yeah, I'm sure he's not, even before this, from what I get from their relationship when they tell the full story, I think Jesse does this a lot. This is not the first time.
Yeah.
Michelle says she's more unhappy than happy, and Brittany goes, how long have you been feeling like this? And Michelle goes, basically since Isabella was born. Like,
yeah.
So like 3 years, it's a mess. Michelle describes how Jesse was very hands-on with Isabella and the whole like house situation and all that because everything was closed during COVID. But then once everything started to open up again, he just left basically and like left her high and dry essentially. And she feels a lot of resentment in terms of that, which I think is probably a fair thing to be angry about.
Like, yeah.
You know, I think. Again, when he, but then it's confusing. But then she'll be like, but he's a great dad. And like, I don't get that.
Is he or was he?
But also, what do you constitute him being a great dad? Yes, like when he brings Isabella to the pool party, there's like some fun moments with them, like banter, you know, like dad daughter banter. But like, that doesn't mean he's a good father. You know what I mean? Like,
that's a good babysitter. That's not a good father. Like, he's literally a parent, and if he's not putting in the same amount that you are, then what are we doing?
Yeah, it's wild. Jesse's telling them it's all superficial issues, which, like, I'm really happy that Michelle can hear that. Just superficial issues. He goes, but about a year ago, she applied for an apartment and basically told me that she was leaving, so she was on the brink, apparently, at one point. He says it's confessional. After talking about it for a couple hours and me asking for a second chance and asking what she wanted me to focus on, we decided to give it a second chance. So that's where I'm saying, like, I think he does this trend of, like, she's on the brink of leaving. He'll, like, you know, be like, I want to run a relationship. I'll work on it, et cetera, et cetera. I honestly think he's doing that in the last scene in this episode.
Yeah. 1,000%.
So I don't, that's where it's like, it's not genuine. It's not, you know.
At all.
Michelle goes, it's kind of like I'm re-feeling the way that I felt before, talking about when she wanted to leave the apartment. And then she says she thinks that the constant bickering and fighting is unhealthy for their daughter. Sometimes I think it would be better off that she would see two happy, good friends as opposed to us together unhappy, which is true. And I think that's a stigma people put on divorce that is like, you know, I would rather you be divorced than yelling at each other all the time in front of her.
Yeah. And you have to nip it before you get to the point where you hate each other. You have to try, but the second that you end up in a situation where this is not going to get better, it needs to be over, and you need to be able to walk away from that and still be able to parent, co-parent with love.
Yeah.
Because if your child sees you at each other's throat, then they are going to internalize that, and that will be reflected in their future relationships.
Right. Jesse tells the guys, well, maybe if I got like an 8-pack back, she'd be a little more attracted to me. Yeah, that's what it is, buddy. You figured it out. Jax then goes, you know, Michelle's hanging out with Beep right now. Jason goes, is Beep in Malibu right now? And then Jax explains what they're talking about. Jax goes, you know, Michelle's always claims that she doesn't know who like famous people are, but she was going out with, who's that director? Beep, for a couple days straight. She goes to Chateau every day. She walks down from her house. She just so happened to meet him at the pool, and they just got along and were talking. Did you read, apparently there was a blind item posted of who they're talking about?
Ooh.
Of who the director is? According to this blind item, it's Quentin Tarantino. Yeah.
Huh.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it, but then it's like,
what's her feet like? If she's got pretty feet, I would say, yeah, that's probably true.
We gotta pay close attention next coming episodes.
I guess so.
But like, yeah. So, but then it's because then it's like, oh yeah, she's hanging. Because I'm like, why are we talking?
Oh wait, because it was by the pool, right? She wouldn't be wearing shoes. It's Quentin Tarantino.
Yeah. Like, why is this whole thing about, like, you know, oh, she's, like, hanging out with this guy? Like, they're talking so blatantly about it. I'm like, what is this about? Like you're saying this right in front of Jesse? Does Jesse know about this? Jax is like, what do you say to her? Jesse goes, I told her, hike up her skirt and drop her blouse down. Do whatever you have to do. And I'm like, okay.
Do whatever you have to do for what? What is the end game?
Well, because Jax is like, this is a potential customer because they're both in real estate. So they want to buy his house or sell his house or whatever. Like, He goes, Jesse doesn't seem too bothered by it. I don't know if I believe him or not. And then Jax points out that Jesse's MO is when he's uncomfortable with situations, he turns it into a joke, which I have noticed.
Yeah.
Like he does this. And but also his idea of a joke is also not the best always. It's one of those things where it's like, that's not a joke. But yeah, this is the whole like, yeah, hike your skirt up a little bit. You're pimping out your wife for real estate deals and yeah. Like, and also just like, don't think anything's going to happen with that, particularly in a time in which your marriage is like on the rocks.
Right. Like the second somebody starts paying her real attention, she's gone.
Yeah.
You're done for.
Yeah. Luke, who turns out to be a messy, messy fucking bitch that I never expected. Oh, we were all like, oh, he doesn't know about reality TV. He doesn't get it. He then asked Jesse, you know, some of us might not be super comfortable like 8 or 9 hours alone with a guy that's like super famous. Jesse then goes, I think when you're secure enough in a relationship or in yourself, you trust Michelle is not going to do anything. And if she does, it's on her. And then I get to tell Isabella for the next 40 years that her mom fucked everything up.
Are you fucking kidding
like,
me?
Again, that's not a, like what Jax is saying, that's not a joke. That's not a nice joke. It's actually a really mean joke.
And it's also really going to fuck up your kid.
Yeah.
Holy fuck. Really?
But yeah, it's like when you, like when you're securing yourself, are you secure right now? Are you secure? Like this is Jesse and Michelle secure.
Okay.
All right. Sure. Then Luke in his confessional goes, I know Michelle and Jesse's relationship isn't the best, but I'm also just holding on to a secret that can just, you know, end everything. And the producer goes, what did you say? Like, and Luke's like, how do I say this? Like, he's dancing around. And I'm sorry. Like, Luke is kind of, like, this is like, because it's apparently going to blow up next episode, right?
Right.
Seemingly. This is where I'm like, okay, now it's the Kristen spreading the Republican, whatever, the like spreading it on the camera.
Right.
And like now Luke is doing this. All right, then. I think you two are made for each other.
Maybe this is a good pairing.
Yeah. Luke then asks Jesse, would you work through it if she made a mistake? And Jesse goes, I wouldn't. It's like the one straw. I'd Remy anything else, but not that, basically. Also, what? Like,
why do I feel like this man has cheated multiple times?
I know, right? I guarantee you. But as he's saying this, that, like, no, I wouldn't, like, if that was the mistake, I wouldn't, like, remedy it. I couldn't do that. Cut to Luke's face with, like, a bit, like, Luke in the pool, like, is just being like, okay.
Well, but the thing is that then the camera cuts to Jax, and he has the same fucking look. He knows, too.
It's the look of, if I don't move, maybe they won't know I'm here.
Right.
Like, he's like, zone the fuck out. And it's like, oh my God.
Jax has such a clear tell when he has tea and he wants to spill it, but he doesn't want to spill it because he doesn't want to get in trouble for it.
Yeah.
It's that look. It's that, I'm going to shove my lips together as hard as I fucking can, and my eyebrows are going to run into my hairline. That is Jax's tell.
Mm-hmm. I love right before they leave, Isabella goes up to her dad and she's like, I drank your margarita. And like, and almost slurs it, by the way, as if she was drunk. Whatever about Jesse and Michelle, their daughter Isabella is the most hilarious thing of the show, by the way. She's like a sassy little girl, and it's great.
But also, I feel like she was going, because when we get home, I don't want to deal with you and mommy screaming at each other.
Basically.
I'm self-medicating just like Auntie Brittany.
Honestly, the things that she has seen.
Poor child.
Yeah. Over at the girls' night, the ladies are getting in the pajamas and playing like truth or dare with each other. They're reading different prompts. The one is most embarrassing thing you've done on a date. And then Brittany tells this story about when she was with Jax's parents on their boat in Florida. And she fucking there were like stingrays around and she had to fucking shit like in the water.
And the thing is it's a glass bottom boat. I thought she was going to say something about then the boat went over it and like you could see it. And it's like, what are we doing?
No. Janet then reveals Michelle goes down to the lobby to poop when they're on vacation. Like, she doesn't even poop in the same room as him. Like, that I think is too much.
I get if you're doing that, like, the first time you go on a couple's, or like, a trip as a couple.
Uh-huh.
Right? Like, that's, you don't live together yet. You know... This is like the first like romantic getaway. Like you maybe don't want to necessarily, you know, especially in a hotel room where the bathroom door may not lock, you know, a lot of bathrooms in hotel rooms don't have a lock on them.
Sure.
So like, I get that. I like the first time, maybe the second time, but by the third time you're going out of town together, you've probably stayed over at each other's place many times. You probably live together. You might be married by this point. Like, how long have they been married? They're 3.5 years past having a child together.
Yeah.
And you still do this?
I mean, it's better than Jax and Brittany, I guess, where Jax is just pooping with the fucking door open.
I cannot. Mm-mm.
So one of the prompts is describe the last time you had sex. Janet goes, so the last sex that we had was on Saturday. We had missionary sex for about 15 minutes, and we both finished, and it was great. And I feel like Brittany got annoyed because it's like, oh, my God, the pregnant lady's fucking having sex, and I'm not. Jesus Christ. So Brittany then goes, last time I had sex, probably a month and a half ago at least. Jasmine, everyone's shocked by that, and Jasmine goes, I mean, like, they have kids, though. And Nia goes, I have 3 kids. I've done more than her. Like,
yep.
So it's like, yeah, it's kind of a more in-depth problem. Kristen, her confessional goes, my girl needs to get laid. I sort of feel bad, but not really, that I'm not in the place right now. I don't know. Try dating a 32-year-old. I don't have any problems. We get it.
We get it. Kristen Fox. Next.
Brittany goes, what he needs to do is he needs to make me feel like I'm still attractive. Like, I don't feel like that right now. And I don't want to cry. And then she says to her confessional, Jack can be real hot on me. He kind of puts me down a lot, whether I do a girl's night and don't feel good the next day or just the way that I look. And I really hated that she said that in this particular confessional that she is in, which there is something particularly villainous about her eyebrows here that are like, it's again, it's like 3 different faces of Brittany this season. It's like, no, you're very attractive.
But also, like, why does she always say, I had a girl's night and then I didn't feel good? Bitch, you were hungover.
Yeah.
Just say you were hungover. Stop quantifying it as I didn't feel good. You drank too much.
Yeah.
Own it.
She then goes, I've been in his corner for all the shit that he's been put me through. I've stuck up for him and I don't feel the same in return. This is also a thing that I get frustrated with Brittany, where it's like, yes, I am with your side. From the moment he fucked Faith, from the moment right. he like fucked the way that he talked to you on Vanderpump, totally am on your side on all of it. But I also,
I'd have left him after he stole the sunglasses in Hawaii. I'm part, just saying
that part. But also, you married him at this point.
Right.
You knew who this man was. You knew what he did to you in the past. You can't now keep being like, I defended you through everything, and so you got to defend. Well, and yes, he should defend you, but I also think you can't keep using that as a weapon.
Right. You at a certain point, you made a choice.
Yeah.
Like, you have to own your part in things.
Right.
It's like,
Danny texts Nia though about the AC issue and like what's happening, and he texts like, can you come home soon? And Nia decides, yeah, I'll come home early, you know, from the girl trip. I won't stay the night, and I'll let the girl stay at the house.
Why? Yeah. Why does she, what is she gonna do? Is she gonna replace the air conditioner?
That was my question.
Like, and then by the time she gets home, the air conditioner's working.
Sure. I think like she was, I think that might have been the next day, but like, I think I can understand, like, he's like overwhelmed with the kids, and it's like,
that could be it.
The kids are screaming because it's hot, and it's right. like, you don't know how to, like, you know.
Well, and I, like, I'm very, like, heat sensitive.
Yeah.
So if I get overheated, I get overwhelmed and go into full, like, meltdown mode.
Right.
I literally, like, we had one summer when I was, I think, like, 12 or something, where it was like, over 100 degrees, our air conditioner went out. Like, I literally had to move in with my grandmother for like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Because I could not be in that house anymore. Like, I was literally like distressed every fucking day.
Remember the day when the AC went out in our old place that we had, and then literally it got to a point where I demanded you, I am getting a hotel. We are going to a hotel right fucking now. I don't care if we can't afford it.
Yes. Yes, I remember that.
Yeah, and Jasmine says to her confessor how, like, Nia needs this night, so it's like, you know, let her have the night. So the next morning, everyone's still recovering at the house, and we get flashbacks to whatever was happening. Brittany was, of course, drinking a lot. She was doing cartwheels. Kristen shows up in this like giant like silk like robe with her, like, her boobs are just completely out, like, not even like
her boob titty and nipples.
Oh my god! And this was such a mood when Janet's like, Kristen forgot her sunglasses, her entire wallet, like, and her wallet with her license. Like, did Kristen drive?
Well, I didn't understand when they were first saying this, that she had left the house. I was under the impression that they were like the next morning where she, and they were like, oh God, she left this and out here and went to bed. And I'm like, who gives a fuck?
Yeah.
I just get it in the morning.
No, she was gone.
She was vamoosed.
Brittany's hungover and Janet's cooking breakfast for everyone. She's like, you want a Bloody Mary? And Brittany's like, ugh. Basically. And she's puking in the bathroom. Janet's like, oh my God, I have to drive her home. She's like, it's going to be like Hansel and Gretel, but instead of breadcrumbs, it's going to be like little piles of vomit from the 405 to the 101.
I hate being the sober person in a room full of drunk people.
I'm always the sober person.
It is exhausting. And I can't imagine, like, because, well, I mean, Nia didn't stay, but Janet is not drinking because she's pregnant.
Yeah.
Duh. So it's like having to sit there and watch everyone else be incoherent. And it's like a room full of fucking toddlers is what it ends up being. I can't do it.
We go back to Danny and Nia's condo. Also, I noted, I don't know if you noticed, I was like, damn right they set the AC at 61.
Uh-huh.
God bless. Nia is telling Danny what Brittany said about the lack of sex and all that. And she's like, I know it's like, that it's only for like that Brittany said it was a month and a half. And Danny's like, okay, wow. She's like, I know it's like a handful of days, or if it's a handful of days or more than a week, you're like, whoa, I couldn't imagine. And then she says in the confessional with Danny, you know, when it comes to the bedroom, we definitely have fun. I feel like Asher was conceived and there were like handcuffs and like a rose, a blindfold, maybe eyes. I was like, you don't need to say this on camera. You really don't.
But also like putting all of your husband's business out there. Like,
sure. And fine if that's your sex life. Like, I don't care. But I call me. This is one of the where's one of the moments where I was like, maybe I am a prude, because I was like, I don't like the idea of conceiving a child in a very like.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think because studies show that like the more fun you're having and the less stressed you are during sex, the more likely you are to conceive.
Oh, okay.
So if like, especially the mother, it really helps if you can just let loose and have the most fun possible.
Right.
So if kink is your thing,
go for it.
Go for it.
Kink it out.
kink it up.
Nia, they're talking, and Nia's leaking at one point, so she has to go breastfeed the baby. But as she's doing that, she's talking to Danny about like her emotions. And this, forget anything I said about Danny like before this about like, oh, he gives me a vibe or whatever. He's fucking amazing. He's kind of the best husband on this.
Yeah.
They're the best couple. I like Janet and Jason as well, but they're kind of the best couple. Like the way he like wipes her tears away is like she's talking about it, and the way she describes it, and he's like, it's high functioning depression. Like, I'm sure it is. And like she discusses about like, I haven't wanted to call it that, but like, I feel like I need to deal with it. Danny's like, I'm just really sorry you're going through this, but I know that you're not, I want you to know that you're not alone, and I'm here for you, and I'm not going anywhere. Everything you're going through is valid, and there's no shame or anything behind it. It was one of the things where it's like, he's not just saying the right things, right?
Right.
You can tell he cares.
Yeah. Well, and what's so frustrating is that I don't necessarily believe that it's quote unquote high functioning depression.
Yeah.
I don't feel like that's a thing. I feel like women are forced to be high functioning and they don't get the time and space to actually take the rest that they need.
Yeah.
And because of that, they're forced into a situation where they have to still function at the exceptionally high level that society demands of women in the first place. And then when they're dealing with things like burnout, when they're dealing with depression and anxiety and OCD and all of these other debilitating diseases and conditions, and are still expected to, you know, do all of this shit, like, yeah, that's going to make it worse. It's going to exacerbate the issues.
Yeah.
And it's going to make it that much harder to ever recover from.
Right. And so she says that she's going to be speaking to a counselor that deals with that. So get that handled. We then go to Jax and Brittany's house, and they're putting Cruz to bed and then going down to the living room to have a discussion. Jax goes, I haven't seen you all day. You didn't come home too nice. You know, you came in rough. Janet was like, can you drive me home? I don't think Brittany's going to be able to. I was like, well, you live a block away. Like, Brittany goes, yeah, there was no possible way for me to get behind the wheel. I think I just didn't eat enough or something. I'm completely better now. like, see, I'm sober now. And it's like,
yeah, but it's 7 at night. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah. Jax goes, you came home throwing up. There was a bag of vomit in the driveway. Brittany goes, that's because I was sick in the car. But you text me and you said, get drunk, have fun, be careful. And then you make me feel guilty for going to have a girl's night. Jax goes, I don't get why you can't go out and have a couple drinks. Why do you have to get to the point where you have to throw up? And Brittany goes, that's exactly what you do too. Like, again, now that I'm with Jax on this. I'm sorry. I hate to say it. I'm with Jax on this.
I'm honestly really worried. Like, especially in their current situation, well, I'm worried that.
Well, and the responses from Brittany is like deflection and excuse.
Right.
And like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just kind of like constant in that.
Yeah.
Jax, I was like, okay. Because he says in confessional, I'm worried because not only is she my wife, but she's a mother. Like, we need you. If you keep this up, you're going to destroy your body. What did that mean?
I hope that it is concerned for her health. And as we need you because you are a valuable part of this family.
Yeah.
And we need you, you know, because you are my wife and I love you. And Cruz needs you because you were his mother. I hope that's what he meant.
Yeah.
But it came off as, I already don't want to fuck you. What do you think you're going to do when you ruin your face with fucking alcohol?
Yeah, I think also the guy who, like, actively made the point to pick out her boob job, I'm going to lean on the side of, like, him making the comment about you're going to ruin your body. I'm like, okay, Jax. All right. Not much has changed.
No.
Brittany tells Jax what Michelle told her. And Brittany goes, I said, we're like best friends no matter what. And she's like, well, I don't feel that way about Jesse at all. And Jax is like shocked by that, which if Jax seemingly knows about what Luke's talking about, why is he?
Right.
That's a little confusing. She goes, and that makes me sad. And Isabella is only a year older than Cruz. So I want us to be able to work on us right now. So in 1 year, we're not where they are.
Well,
whoopsie.
Also, to be fair, in 1 year, they aren't where they are.
Less than that.
They're further along in that they caught up.
Jax is like, I got ahead of things. I have to. It's my OCD. Jax goes, how deep did you talk about our sex life? And Brittany goes, I mean, everyone was saying, when's the last time? And I said, a month and a half ago. And he's like, fuck. Jax goes, there's been a lot going on, though. Like, I've had so much going on. And Brittany goes, that's not an excuse. Also, what have you had going on? Like, oh, the bar that you have no financial investment in? Fuck off. Brittany goes, you can make me feel sexy or something a little bit. It doesn't make me feel like you're attracted to me or something. And Jax goes, of course I'm attracted to you. Very like, duh. Like, and it's like that. The reaction of that can't be duh.
Right.
Like, look at Danny. I'm sorry. Look at Danny. Look at how Danny's talking to Nia. Talk to Brittany that way.
Yeah.
God damn it.
And the thing is that, like, a lot of people like to act like Brittany is fat. She's not.
No, it's, yeah.
It's her boobs. They're big. They're too big for her frame.
Way too big.
And she's a lot smaller than they make her look.
Yeah.
And so, like you see her in the after show where she's got her hair down and it's like, yeah, this is like, she's actually kind of small.
Yeah.
She's bigger than she was when she first came onto Vanderpump Rules.
But she was also a baby.
She was also had a baby and she was a stick back then.
Yeah.
So like, yeah, that happens as metabolism settles and you have children.
Did you see that first season Britney photo that's been going around from like when she was getting into it with Lala? Oh my God, she looks so beautiful with her old face. I'm so sorry. I don't mean to be the plastic surgeon critique, but like, my God. Brittany says, I need more physical touch, words of affirmation, you know, love languages. And Jax goes, I do all that stuff. Bullshit! Danny had to be telling you about that at the fucking fair and you weren't even listening.
But also, I don't want to blame Brittany for anything, but we don't know what's happening behind this, right? If she's wanting to have sex more, is she ever initiating? Or is she just waiting for him to come to her?
Yeah, that's...
Like, if you want to have sex more, initiate it and then go, hey, by the way, I'd like you to initiate more.
Right.
But, like, if you want sex with your husband, go tell your husband you want sex.
Yeah.
If you need to wake him up and climb on top, do that.
Yeah. Brittany goes, you get stressed out and put all that stress on me. And Jax goes, it's because I'm OCD and I overthink things. Oh, my God. He's using it as a crutch. I know he is. I'm sorry. He is.
Overthinking things is not OCD.
Yeah.
That's anxiety. Those are different things.
And then Brittany says they're thick as thieves and they're going nowhere. And Jax is like, yeah, that D word doesn't exist in my family. It's not going to happen. I'm like, oh, my God. Welp.
Well, technically, they're not divorced.
Yeah, well...
They're separated.
Yeah,
nobody has filed for divorce.
Yet.
As of today.
Yeah. We then go to Jesse and Michelle at their house talking about last night, and they're discussing, like, work stuff, too. But Jesse goes, you know, Jax was asking about therapy. I think it was just, I was just about as honest as I could be. And Michelle goes, really? Like, here, Michelle's tone with Jesse is so detached.
Oh yeah,
it's so detached. It's it's like Jesse, like you're talking about like fixing this girl. She's gone. She's fully gone.
Been gone.
Yeah. He goes, I said it's kind of chaos. Like I threw it all out there. And Michelle goes, very Jesse of you. Ooh, man. Michelle goes, well, I learned a lot yesterday being with the girls. Brittany really opened up and said we barely sleep with each other. They're like brother and sister, which did Brittany explicitly say that to her? Because I don't think Jackson's going to love that. I know Michelle's been saying it, but she goes, and everything she was saying, I was kind of agreeing with her. Like, that's how me and Jesse are. I opened up to her and said things I never really said out loud before. And Jesse goes, like what? And she goes, it's clear that I'm not exactly happy. And I told that I didn't know exactly what to do with our relationship before. It makes me unhappy as a person. Oh, man. This is where I was just like, this is awkward as fuck. And yeah. I'm living for it. Kind of. Jesse, this is where, Jesse in his confessional then goes, because when Michelle's now, like, dropped this on him. In his confessional, he goes, I made a vow, and I'm going to fight for that vow for Michelle, for my family, for Isabella, to keep us as a whole. There is always a way through it. But you just said at the pool that if she cheated on you, can't do it. I'm not going to, that would be the one straw I couldn't do. And here you're saying, there's always a way to fix it. Because now you know, that's what I'm saying, right? That's what I'm saying about how he like dangles things.
Right.
Like when she's right on the edge of leaving.
Right.
Now it's like everything. I will do anything. I'll do literally fucking anything. Just don't leave me. Am I wrong? Am I wrong?
No,
or am I wrong?
No, you're right. Like, that's exactly how he's behaving.
Because when he's not in that position, it feels like he's in the power, like,
right,
you know, mode. And so now, yeah. Ugh. Jesse then goes, we're spending all this money and this time and commitment on therapy. Also, him leading with the money. I was like, well. He goes, do you want it to work or do you want it not to work? And Michelle goes, I know that you want to make it work, but I don't necessarily know how I feel. I think I know how you feel. I think you answered it.
Huh?
I think you fully answered it.
Because you sound like you're on Zoloft.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I just want to put that out there.
Jesse then goes, I want us to go back to the things we liked to do before and experience together raising Isabella. And you were like, is he tearing? Oh my God, is he tearing? You literally like... You were like,
zoom in, enhance. You could see it rolling around on his bottom lid, but it never actually fell.
Yeah. He's like, and I want to do that as a team. Michelle goes, I'm going to try, but I can't promise anything. Again. And then it ends so awkwardly. He goes, do you want a hug? Let's hug it out. And they get up to hug. And it is the most unenthusiastic hug from Michelle. There is no grip. There is no, like, it's just like,
dead fish.
Dead
fish.
Woo!
She is so already out of this.
And based off of the preview for next week, it gets worse?
Yeah.
How does it get worse?
Oof.
Oh, I love seeing people destroy their marriages on television. I gotta say. Oh, it makes me feel so much better. Anyways, that was the Valley for this week. God, such a good episode.
All right, let's get into these tops and bottoms. We've got Vanderpump Villa, we've got Vanderpump Rules, and we've got The Valley. What are you thinking, babe?
I'll start. I think both of them are going to be on Vanderpump Rules for me. My bottom, I'm going to give it to Lala again, just because I feel like it was particularly the conversation with Katie at Tom Tom that really got under my crawl. I thought it was so gaslighting and gross. I thought it was... It just showed a lot of manipulative aspects of Lala that I don't really love, and like... Like, I just think, like, this presentation, and it being framed in this presentation of, like, kindness and growth, and, like, I'm growing. Yeah. I don't love that. Like,
yeah.
You know, it's kind of toxic in a different way, and I just, like, don't think that's been acknowledged in many ways. My top I'm going to give to James Kennedy, simply from that Tom Sandoval scene, which was fucking amazing, and everything I wanted. Like, it's been what I've been wanting for, like, 11 episodes. It's so fucking good. Like, he nails him perfectly. He comes off so confident. He really has taken on the number one in the guy group mantra in a way that's, like, genuinely like moving in a way that's fantastic. Yeah, I just really thought it was great. One of my favorite scenes in a while with James Kennedy. What about you, babe? What are your tops and bottoms?
My bottom is going to go to Brittany.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm just worried. I'm really, like, concerned. And also because she made me agree with Jax, and I don't like that. it made me feel icky. But like, I feel like he has a point. Like, I feel like there's a problem here. And it really, I hope it gets addressed before they separate.
Yeah.
So that she's able to be there for Cruz in the way that she needs to be when she doesn't have another parent around to pick up the slack, you know? And that's all I'm going to say on it. My top is going to go to the women on Vanderpump Villa because they conducted themselves so much better than these disgusting men did.
Yeah.
And meaning the other employees at the villa, not the guests, because I feel like they were able to go, hey, we can be flirty and sexy and fun too, but we don't have to be disgusting fucking pigs to do it.
Yeah.
Like, none of them were like actively drooling over these men. None of them were pawing on them. Nobody gave somebody a lap dance. Nobody was, you know, grinding up on anybody. It was all the sort of fun you would see on a like PG-13 CW show.
Yeah.
Which is enough, but not anything that would raise concern. And I really think that the men, especially Eric and Marciano, could really learn a thing or two from these women and the way that they conducted themselves, but they won't, because the men will look at this and go, that's exactly what we did.
Yeah.
They will literally see no difference. I don't understand that, but they literally will do that. But I wanted to point out that you can be thirsty without being disgusting. Hey, thanks for tuning into this episode of A Gay and His Envy.
Join us next time for more of our recaps and hot takes. And be sure to subscribe and leave a review wherever you are listening. And check us out on our social media at A Gay and His Envy on all the platforms.
A special shout out to Shane Ivers, who wrote Pulsar, the song we use for our theme.
I'm Eamon.
I'm Merlin. And we're out.
This show is a member of the Sorgatron Media Podcast Network. Find out more at sorgatronmedia.com.